Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are at the end of the first full week of March 2020. It is the sixth day of March 2020. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Already arriving, Anatole, Jimmy, and Squeaky. They'll be thrilled to pieces to see you if you pop by. Hoping Sparky's feeling a little bit better. Don't know if he'll be by this evening or not. I sure do hope so. I haven't heard anything from him otherwise. And along those lines, a quick housekeeping update. The ever persistent Brother Deacon Asa has, we hope, fixed the player for the live stream on the HeadOn.live webpage. What did this involve? Well, Steve from Georgistan helped him out. That would be pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. And since it proved to be difficult to replicate for Brother Deacon Asa, but everything seemed to be centering on the TuneIn embeddable player, it's gone now. And Instead, we've gone back to the previous embedded player we were using, and it's been tweaked and cleaned up a little bit, and it seems to be working fine. That's what Dave says. Deacon Asa trial version WordPress player, huh? Well, it sounds great, and that's fantastic news. Thank you very much, Dave, and I hope it'll be as good a news for everybody else. And there's an added bonus to it. That TuneIn player used, how to put it? Let me see if I can find exactly what Brother Deacon Asa said about the TuneIn player. Those shameless bastards use the creator's content and the creator's bandwidth to run their own ads. I'd say if there was, well, yeah. So that's why you see people like iHeart and Entercom and so forth getting away from TuneIn and moving to their own exclusive platforms. Because that's the thing. A, it wasn't working. And B, they were running 30-second high-def video ads on their own smartphone apps. So, you know, they were burning through people's individual users' bandwidth to run their ads without regard to whether or not the individuals might have been on metered bandwidth. That matters. That really, really does matter. And so you will no longer be plagued with ads for anybody or anything when connecting to the stream here. And as an added benefit, There won't be any more confusion about, gee, Bob, I thought you said you didn't run any ads. You're probably getting rich from those ads on the player, Bob. No. We never got a dime. Nobody does. We just provided the content for free, and they ran it. And you can still get the feed on TuneIn, but it is far easier simply to go to headon.live and use the player there. Lee in New York says, I hear you on Chrome and Firefox. Yay! I'm happy to hear it, Lee. I'm happy indeed. So thank you very, very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, for tenaciously sticking to it and getting that madness sorted out. I really do appreciate it, and I know the Horn Family Community Congregation does as well. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. This edition of the program, I guess I should say. Thanks go out today to our sixth day of the month subscription gang. Thanks to Bob, and thanks to Don in West Tennessee. Thanks to Chris in Germany. Thanks to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Alex, and thank you to Kim. Thank you to Kim in New Jersey, Malin and Kim. And thank you to John. Thank you one and all for being partial sponsors of the program and making sure that some portion of our monthly fundraising needs are met via your kind subscriptions. Those are our PayPal subscribers. At the end of the month, I give thanks to our Patreon subscribers, and then, of course, the a la carte subscribers. And we're not in that bad a shape for ending the first week in March. We only need to raise $400 this evening to finish the week good and clean and even and it right. And Steve in New York wants to step up and get started. Let's get her started with a $10 challenge to Steve in New York. So the first $10 that comes in gets doubled to 20, courtesy of Steve in New York. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Billable Rick says, the Head On Live WordPress player sounds great. Thanks to Asa and Steve from Georgia, Stan. Yes, indeed. How many times do I have to say Steve in Georgia, Stan, Steve? Don't I get any props? Asa and I troubleshooted that damn tune in for hours last night. He said he was going back to the old one, and I suggested, please do. That one's bulletproof. Ace is good people, man. Yes, he is. And I've mentioned you repeatedly, Steve. I wanted to make sure that I did, because the troubleshooting was most helpful. Let's see. Albert, the new player works. Please thank everyone who helped fix it. Thanks indeed. So that's one less gremlin out on the wing pulling metal away from the engine housings and stuff as I, playing the role played by William Shatner, look out the window in abject horror. Okay. But yeah, you got mentioned, Steve. You got mentioned a lot. Of course, this is Friday on the Front Porch. We will we'll all follow the breadcrumb trail out to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves in a little bit, where Sparky will be waiting. And yes, there's Sparky in the chat room. It must be feeling a little bit better, because being a third stage guild navigator, he has folded space to become Man Cave. We had a couple of nice days here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by cold Trump Virginia this week. That's over. It's been snowing all day. It's going to snow all night and snow all day tomorrow. Hoo-wee. Yeah. Maybe we'll write this up to March coming in like a lion, and that means we'll actually be done with winter by the end of the month, because, of course, I believe in all of that weather superstition and stuff. oh, my God. It's only going to get weirder. Suman with a note. Coronavirus cure, cow urine and dung. What the fuck? A story from India Today. This idiot apparently has figured out the cure for the coronavirus and all the ailments of the world. The idiot's first name is the same name as mine, which irritates the heck out of me. At least we're not of the same gender. It may be asked the community on the porch today if they would like to try this. Now listen carefully. At a time when the coronavirus outbreak has claimed over 3,000 lives globally and a few cases have been detected in India, Suman Harapriya, a BJP MLA from Assam, said that coronavirus is an airborne disease and it can be cured by using Gaumutra, cow urine, and cow dung. Suman Harapriya even said Ahwan, offering prayers to gods in front of fire, using cow dung, can be performed in China to purify the country's air. Suman Harapriya said that saints in ancient times made panchamrit by using cow urine. How am I doing with the pronunciation, Suman? Just checking in. I'm trying here, man. By using cow urine, milk, and honey, which cured all their ailments, and they managed to live 1,000 years. Oh. But you know, you don't blame the culture because what, 2 years ago we were swallowing Tide Pods in the United States of America? Stupid is universal. And of course, last night we found out that the reason people in China needed the pangolin scales in the first place was to mix with little boy pee-pee and make concoctions that would drive the demons and ogres out of women, probably make for a really spectacular boner in men. And by the way, along the way, I got confirmation today. I saw a little mini documentary from was it Vox? I think maybe. About coronavirus origins, and it gave a little bit more depth into the origins of the wet markets, and son of a gun, I was right. Oh, and thank you, Samson. Thank you very kindly. Samson just answered Steve in New York's challenge, and so now I can happily announce that we are $365 away from finishing the week. Thank you. Thank you, Samson. Thank you very kindly. And I really didn't want to get all coronavirus this evening, but it's going to probably prove to be something near impossible. Yeah. House of Roberts says in the chat room says, "Here I am coming to you from the bright lights of the Rocket City. As a first shift employee starting Monday, today is a vacation day to aid in the conversion. Enjoy it, and then coffee breaks over, back on your head. But glad to see you in the room this evening." All right, then. But anyway, back to the wet markets. They were born just as I suggested, out of the famine and starvation of the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward of the 1960s and 1970s in communist China. Because the state, having taken over all food production and having failed to be able to feed the Chinese people, well, some peasants out in the hinterland, just as a means of getting by, began trapping and harvesting and raising wildlife. Turtles, snakes, bats. But it proved to be quite successful and quite popular. And they expanded over time into these vast so-called wet markets where all manner of domesticated and wild animals were warehoused and slaughtered in conditions that would ruin the dinner hour for every time zone where my voice is reaching now. Imagine animals stacked in cages 10, 12 feet high, and the old saying that shit rolls downhill could not be more true. And so does piss, and so does everything else. Anything that happens above winds up on the ones below. and eventually you wind up, well, it was SARS 18 years ago. Began in another wet market in southern China and ran like wildfire, again, because the Chinese government is authoritarian and oppressive and scared to death of freedom of information. And I think it jumped from a bird to humans. And in this case, bats, pangolins, humans. The other thing that I found interesting is that in modern China, with the wonders of its free market, free-ish market economy, and the majesty of full-on fascism coupled up with capitalism, and recall that Benito Mussolini once said that fascism should truly be called corporatism, because corporations married to the power of the state, you wind up with fascism. Well, it turns out that now the people who really, really have a taste for the bizarre stuff, and we're talking about things imported into China, tigers, rhinoceroses, again, you know, for that traditional Chinese medicine that without fail drives ogres and demons out of women. Funny how the demons and ogres always wind up in the women. Go figure. Patriarchy. But it's the wealthy who like to sit around and eat rats and bats and snake. And like I've said before, I will never forget that that episode of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from sometime around 1986, when Robin Leach declared, "We went looking for the most expensive bowl of soup in the world. We found it in Japan. Snake urine soup, $1,000 a bowl. Beloved among sumo wrestlers." Yeah, okay. But, yeah, Jimmy says, "Oh, you mean like we house chickens here in America?" Oddly enough, it's even worse. If that, it's hard to imagine, because Flavio says, "How is that less gross than CAFOs, Bob? Confined animal feeding operations." People get zoonotic diseases here, too. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, they do. But you can take those and multiply it and make it even worse when you've gone beyond when you've gone beyond typically domesticated livestock. There's just not a with the possible exception of the bat in. Was it Robert Taylor, Hollywood Shuffle, back in the 80s? "There's a bat in my house, batty, batty, batty." That's about the only bat you would ever want in your house. Scott in San Diego says, "Nasty, stinky, stacked Chinese wet market cages. With all that vile drippiness going on, it brings a whole new meaning to as above, so below. Not to mention the GOP's long-hyped trickle-down, at least with the cage set up, there's actually something to show for it." Well, yeah, we got something to show for it all over the planet now. I've taken to checking before every program now. Total confirmed cases are 101,781. Total deaths are 3,460. Total recovered, 55,866. The red dots are growing larger in places like Ecuador and Brazil, in Algeria and Egypt. Really kind of a nowhere to run, baby, nowhere to hide sort of situation. Antarctica is still reasonably clear. But then again, that probably won't even last, seeing as how summertime high temperatures in parts of Antarctica reached 65 degrees in the last month or so. Hint, it's not supposed to get 65 degrees in Ant-fucking-Arctica. In Georgia, in Floyd County, Georgia, a woman showed up at the health care center there with flu-like symptoms, a dry cough, a fever, said she wanted to be tested. The Georgia Department of Public Health said, nah, you don't need to be tested. Just go home. Came back a couple of days later and said, no, I'm even worse now. And her doctors said, you know, maybe you might want to stick around here this time. And they started yelling for the Georgia Department of Public Health to get her tested. And the Georgia Department of Public Health still said, uh-uh. She don't meet the CDC guidelines. And her doctor kept on and kept on and kept on until they finally said, all right, God damn it. We'll test her. Ain't you going to feel stupid when she shows up and she ain't got it? And then they went, oh, fuck, she's got it. People in New York are being told to work from home for the next weekend, for the next week or so, trying desperately to stop this. You know, individual states, municipalities, counties are desperately trying to stop the spread because this White House is as useless as tits on a tank or a screen door on a bull when it comes to the And they're down to that place they always get to, these maggots. Just declaring that whatever it is you think you know, you don't know it because alternative facts. Yeah. Mark Lipsitch is an epidemiologist at Harvard University with the Center for Communicable Disease Dynamics. And, speaking to CNN reporter Daniel Dale, Dr. Lipsitch told him that the idea that the virus is being contained, Dr. Lipsitch said, in the U.S., it is the opposite of contained. This, after Larry Kudlow said, it's definitely... definitely been contained, definitely. Which was then followed up by Kellyanne Conartist, who said, it is being contained. Mm-mm. No, it's not. Not at all. So along those lines, well, let's check in. Just because. Yeah, I know. The Georgia woman, Steve in New York, says, just pray over her. Because that always works real good. Sure. My personal favorite in the last, 24, 36, 48 hours or so, though, has to be Rick Santilli. You remember Rick Santilli, don't you? Rick Santilli is the guy who, back in 2010... threw a butthurt hissy on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade or some market somewhere, whatever. And in so doing, started the teabagger movement. Yeah, this is pretty stunning. I mean, if he wasn't a Republican.
Think about how the world would be if you tried to quarantine everybody because of the generic type flu. Now, I'm not saying this is the generic type flu, but maybe we'd be just better off if we gave it to everybody, and then in a month it would be over, because the mortality rate of this probably isn't going to be any different if we did it that way than the long-term picture. But the difference is we're wreaking havoc on global and domestic economies.
Can you get any more free marketeer than that? Can you get any more capitalist than that? Can you get any more Republican than that? Can you get any more maggot than that? Let's just let it turn into a global pandemic, knock a few billion people out. A billion or so. What's two or three is a tragedy. A billion's a statistic, right? And then the markets will recover. You fucking idiot. You goddamn soulless, miserable piece of shit. Sitting there, the nerve. And I realize, wait a minute, I got a cowbell. James in Illinois, subject line, leave Kellyanne, one, alone, two, at the bus stop, three, out of your will, four, all of the above. And hence the cowbell. But can you imagine being such a money-grubbing, obsessed little punk-ass pissant that you would blithely suggest, let's just get everybody sick so the holy sacred markets will do better, so I'll have more profits, and the precious shareholders will have better numbers on their quarterly profit and loss statements. By the way, the market nosedived another 250 points or so today. God, what a disgusting excuse for a human being. And I realize in what I'm about to say, I'm comparing, not apples and oranges, I'm comparing strychnine and cyanide, because they're both toxic. But as of airtime, Rick Santelli still has a job. Now, this is just a thought experiment in morality here. You just heard it. Rick Santelli says that maybe we'd be better off if we just went around sort of rubbing and sneezing and snotting on each other till everybody in the whole goddamn world had this virus. You know, some it'll be an inconvenience, maybe not so bad as the cold, or maybe the flu, and other people, they'll just fucking die. But It's no biggie, and it's same anyway, according to this moral vacuum, Rick Santelli. And he's still got a job. Now, this is by no means a defense of Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews does not have a job because he was run off air over the really creepy, skeevy, skeezy, sleazy, gross, cringe-inducing way that he treated women for years on his program. He's out. Jason, I can't remember his last name, an African-American commentator, I think, on MSNBC. He was suspended for a week or two or whatever when he referred to, and he's an African-American man, and he referred to the African-American women associated with Bernie Sanders' campaign as members of the island of misfit black girls. there wasn't any hand-wringing at all. He got his ass suspended, lickety-split. And then Chris Mann, and I bring this up because this is all the same corporation. Rick Santelli engaged in that disgusting eugenic fantasy on CNBC. The other two things happened on MSNBC. I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer to this. I'd be interested in your thoughts as to which is worse, or is it so apples and oranges that there's no way to compare? Is there a valid argument to be made that Rick Santelli should never be allowed in range of a microphone and a camera again because he engaged in a disgusting eugenic fantasy that he imagined would somehow preserve the wealth of the ruling class? Really? You tell me. You tell me. Oh, now I understand how the Merkel works. Stephen New York pointed out, since Trump said radical Islamic terrorism, with scare quotes around it, it's disappeared. It doesn't exist anymore. All we have to do is say that COVID-19 is contained, and, well, it's contained, and it's a Merkel. Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego lets us know that down in Austin, Texas, they've canceled SXSW, South by Southwest, as a result of coronavirus fears, concerns. Probably a wise choice. Yeah, to paraphrase, Scott says, to paraphrase the late Senator Everett McKinkey-Dirksen, did you really mean to type McKinkey, or was that a typo? Because that's funny. Everett McKinkey-Dirksen, Republican of Illinois, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon it starts to add up to real people. Jesus. Yeah. Dave also noted the cancellation of South by Southwest. I suspect we will probably see more of that. Oh, and big news. Here in almost level West by Cold Trump Genistan, we got our very first coronavirus testing kit. And they're all being run through the CDC. But I think three people have been tested. Two are awaiting diagnosis, and one was a no. So, Bill in PA says, Rick Santelli, Rick would probably be the first and loudest victim of coronavirus. Rick shouldn't be let near a microphone ever again. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. James in Illinois says, remember the Santelli rant? He was widely credited with having sparked the fire that started the so-called Tea Party. Bags came later. Yeah. Meanwhile, up in Connecticut, Darlene says, last I checked, we're surrounded. All the states that surround around Connecticut have coronavirus cases. Connecticut hasn't identified one yet. I emphasize, we haven't identified one yet, because that's why you keep the testing at a minimum, because you might find out that we're back to that clip. That was Rick Santelli again, fuck off. But you wind up back at that clip that I've been playing all week.
You've got a collapse of confidence in the currency. People are going to panic.
Yeah.
There's going to be gold riots, atonal music, right. Political chaos, right. Mass suicide, right?
Yeah.
It's Germany before Hitler. Uh-huh. You can see that.
Yeah.
Jesus. I don't know what people are going to do when a six-pack of Budweiser costs $1,200.
Oh, well, that'll be off.
Only it's not apparently going to be a six-pack of Budweiser. It's going to be an 18-roll pack of Charmin. So we've got that part, the Rick Santelli part. On the other hand, however, we've got some additional creepiness courtesy of, oh, who else? Nitwit Nero, Corona Claudius, Viral Vitellius. It was this morning as they put together a hastily organized photo op for him to prove once again that he can scrawl that picture of all those little Klansmen that he calls his signature and hold it up to show it off. And he said, and they, you know, I wanted $2 billion and they gave me $8 billion, so I'll take it. I expect within days to find to hear him say, well, you know, we really don't need all that money, so I think I'll put it into the wall. Because the wall will definitely stop. It'll stop the corona flu. Definitely stop the corona flu. But this is, you know, this is the heart and soul of the disinformation. And the only people who will believe this are the maggots. But 33% of America is quite enough to spread this thing hither, thither, and yon.
So I think we're in great shape. I mean, I think we're in great shape. This came unexpectedly a number of months ago. I heard about it in China, came out of China. I heard about it. And we made a good move. We closed it down. We stopped it. Otherwise, the head of CDC said last night that you would have had thousands of more problems if we didn't shut it down very early. It was a very early shutdown, which is something we got right.
Which is, you know, all along I've said he's doing his voice as a cross between Carl the assistant greenskeeper from Caddyshack and Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. And once again, the goddess of irony confirms me. Because remember, when the Dalai Lama, the flowing robes, the majesty, bald, says, on your deathbed, you will retain perfect consciousness. So I've got that going for me, which is good. That's roughly the equivalent of, so we got that right. Maybe that's it. Maybe Nitwit Nero is smoking that hybrid blend of Kentucky bluegrass and Sinsomia. The great thing is you can putt on it, and then you can smoke it, get stoned to the bejesus belt. News from up over down under. Robert in Australia writes, Woolworths have a 4-pack limit on toilet paper. I was going to check the supplies at my local supermarket yesterday. I didn't bother. Here's why. The hoarder bug has been caught by many Australians. Currently, Coles, Woolworths, Aldi, and Costco are all having varying restrictions on toilet paper, but some have brought in limits on hand sanitizer and rice, too. Woolworths have a 4-pack limit on toilet paper. If you're after rice, you'll only be allowed to buy one large 2-kilogram package, while antibacterial gel now sits behind the customer service desk and is capped at 2 bottles. Robert in Australia says, oh dear, some people, honestly. Meanwhile, charities have asked people not to strip supermarkets of cheaper food options, as it's causing people on low incomes to have to go without. And I just saw a commercial. Cheap holiday flights to the USA. Wonder why. Signed, Robert from Oz. Yeah, wonder why indeed. One, and there's a newspaper somewhere in Oz that is known for its irreverent and occasionally tongue-in-cheek approaches to news. And they recently printed an edition that had an insert in it of, I think, 8 sheets that could be taken out and used as toilet paper. That, by God, is a responsive press. These fuckers are going to, like Trump, are making this worse, not better. And when the maggots finally do go into full-on panic mode, it's going to get even uglier. The Centers for Disease Control says there are six states in the union which do not currently have at least one lab with the verified ability to run COVID-19 diagnostic tests. Here we go. Alabama, of course. Maine, not surprised. Ohio? Really? Really, Ohio? Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Dayton, Toledo, not one lab. Oklahoma? There we are, almost level west by cold Trump Ginyistan. And Wyoming. I know you're going, well, of course, Bob, West Virginia, you know, a bunch of fucking hillbillies. The medical complex up at West Virginia University is actually pretty impressive. I'm shocked and dismayed to find out that we don't have any. Then again, maybe it requires the kind of money to have that kind of testing ability that maybe you'd have to tax the coal and fracking industries to get, so not worth having. Darlene says, "Ah, geez, don't insult Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. Bubbles has a heart and a good soul." I left Cat Food Mountain. Although all his trailer park friends are now out of jobs since weed became legal in Canada. LOL. I don't know, Jack. I think we should just not go and knock over a Coinstar. I love Bubbles. James in Illinois differs a little bit. He says, "The Don, he's the voice of Eric Cartman with the look and personality of Ralph Cramden, sans all the charisma." Yeah, there's an argument to be made for that, too. Steve in New York says, "I don't buy Ohio. With the Cleveland Clinic and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, I don't buy it." Well, take it up with NPR. They're the ones that publish the list. Alabama, Maine, Ohio, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Wyoming. With Cleveland Clinic there, it is a little bit shocking, isn't it? But then again, it's not shocking if you consider what we've been dealing with for the last 3 years. Whatever was in place under the Obama administration has been systematically dismantled to satisfy the shrieking baboon id of the moron who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But overall, apparently, Virus Vitellius thinks that this whole thing's going pretty well. In that bizarre Fox News TV Radio Rwanda town hall that was had with some dude and a Fox Attack blonde. Well, do you think the question was, do you think the coronavirus crisis will impact the U.S. economy and your reelection? Here's the answer.
At the impact on the economy, and that potentially, you know, that could, if people feel like the economy is turning around, that could be an election issue as you go into it.
Well, look, we were set to.
Holy shit, I just have to make this observation. They let the attack blonde wear a pantsuit. You know, the usual attire for a Fox Attack blonde is a skirt cut up to woohoo, and you know, pantsuits are terrifyingly reminiscent of you know who. But maybe she figured it would make it a little harder for him to grab her by the. Yeah, maybe. So here's the answer.
Hit 30,000 on the Dow. This is a number that nobody ever even came close to. And already we have the number. And even though it's down 10 or 11%, it's still the highest it's ever been by far. It certainly might have an impact. At the same time, I have to say, people are now staying in the United States, spending their money in the U.S., and I like that. You know?
Yeah, I like that. They're buying, you know what? My portfolio has lots of toilet paper in it. I'm making a killing. I'm absolutely killing it. And you know what? You don't have, do you know that you can make hand sanitizer out of vodka? It just so happens that I've got a couple of warehouses fucking full of Trump vodka. We're probably going to roll it out soon and sell it with little packs of Knox unflavored gelatin. You mix the vodka with the gelatin, hand sanitizer. And you know what? If it turns out, like I think, it's just a hunch. But if it turns out that the coronavirus is no big deal and it's a Democrat hoax and they're lying about all these sick people, well, you know what? If you've made homemade hand sanitizer with Knox unflavored gelatin and Trump vodka, then, hey, party on, dude. You won't need to wash your hands with it. You can just put it in those little, and you'll probably have some little urine specimen cups around, and you just squirt, 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 just like I did with Stormy. Squirt, 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 squirt some of your homemade hand sanitizer into the little urine specimen cups, and you can play, like, a hand sanitizer roulette. And we'll let it go for cheap. Only $30 a fifth, okay? That's cheap. Do you know what Putin was getting for his Putinka vodka? Yeah. So I think people are going to be spending money here. And if you spend it on me, I'll like it even better. Maybe we'll give you a red hat to go with it.
I've been after that for a long time. You know that. I've been saying, let's stay in the U.S., spend your money here. And they're doing that. They're sort of enforced doing that. We met with the airline companies yesterday. They're doing a fantastic job. And they're just not flying to areas that have a big problem. So it's going to all work out. Everybody has to be calm. It's all going to work out.
But
it's definitely all going to work out. And, you know, people will stay home. And if we have to, you know, we can weld them into their apartments. You know, I hear that. People don't know, but they're finding out that that was really, really effective in China. Really effective. Believe me. And you know what? It's great for the arc welding, the portable arc welding manufacturing business, you know, and they got wheels on them, and you can just go from door to door and weld people into their homes. And then you come back a few months later and you clean the places out a little bit, and then you can turn, and then instead of somebody else buying them, you can just turn them into Airbnbs. And see, it's great for the economy. I think I got possessed for a minute there. Merciful. And then the whole CDC thing was weird. He was scheduled to go to the CDC, but then he chickened out, and then he realized it would look like he was chickening out. So and he put out this thing about how, well, you know, we were going to go, but then they told me that there might be somebody at the CDC who had the coronavirus, and so we didn't want to get in their way. And then turned around when he realized that everybody knew what a bone spur chicken shit coward he is. And so once he gets there, at his appearance at the CDC, he said that now experts are telling me to take sick Americans off a cruise ship, but I don't want to do it because it'll make the numbers go up. It wasn't our fault. Thank you, David in South Carolina, Stan, for that. Any rational country would remove such a person from office. Just reading those words on a page. I don't want to bring him in here because it'll make the numbers grow up in the United States. Damn.
And by the way, also at CDC, he referred to the governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee, as
a snake. He's a snake. He's definitely a snake. Believe me, a snake.
Washington, the government of Washington State is doing everything it possibly can to limit the spread. And Jay Inslee, being a gracious and decent human being, actually welcomed Mike Pencilneck Geek to Washington yesterday as the head of the coronavirus task force came to see how it was going in Washington State and maybe do a little snake handling in his own right and pour some anointing oil on folks and pray over them and pray the virus away. It, true. James in Illinois says, barring the door. Remember how that worked for the dude? Yeah, I know. Not so. I don't know if I already said this, says Steve in New York. I'm terrified that the COVID-19 epidemic and the USSC declaring the PPACA unconstitutional, United States Supreme Court declaring the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, are on a collision course. If that happens and the number of uninsured suddenly skyrockets to pre-PPACA levels, that will make any epidemic look like a Brady Bunch mumps episode. Yeah. Of course, even as it stands, there are millions of Americans who have insurance through the exchanges that have $10,000 deductibles on them. Which means that even if it turns out that you can get tested without cost if you're insured, if you have to be treated, you're still going to be treated under the same standards as are contained in your policy. Hundreds of dollars per day in the hospital, copay. It's chilling. And then if what, and then, you know, by post-election day when the Supreme Court announces their decision. Well, atonal music. Yeah, Bill in PA says, Trump's starting to sound like your impression. You two will sound alike by the time he leaves office. That is, when we the people kick him out. I like your fighting spirit, Bill. Not if, but when. Let's work around. Let's work with that. Indeed. Let's see here. We are rapidly approaching the top of the hour. And so in fairly short order, we will be going to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Remember, if you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, it's terribly easy to do. All you have to do is go to headon.live, click the great big honking banner at the top of the program, and it'll carry you right into the conversation. I checked a few minutes ago to make sure that the stress line is still attached to the Bluetooth. It appears to be. Nope, not anymore. Dropped it. It's reconnected now. So, if you can't get through on Skype, if you can't make it work, you're welcome to try the stress line 844-843-4676, 844 the horn, and we'll see how that works out. Here's a note. Santelli and the Church of Euthanasia. Bob, this asshole probably belongs to the Church of Euthanasia. You know, the bumper sticker that says the Church of Euthanasia, kill yourself for the good of humanity. And then in parenthesis, you first. Is it too late to give him his wish, asking on behalf of well friends? Signed, Dave from the Blind. David in South Carolina, Stan, subject line, mutations. It may be a relatively mild virus, however, it is evolving. It may become more deadly. You know, a virus with a massive kill rate is, from the standpoint of evolution, not a successful virus, because the idea is to replicate and transmit. And if so that's actually a virus with a huge kill rate, huge mortality rate, is an evolutionary failure. But the thing is, human stupidity can be more than effective at enhancing that. So let's, what's that, Lee in New York says, six-pack of Budweiser, 1,200? Don't worry, Corona beer will be cheap. Yeah, that's the joke that keeps on giving. So let's run over to the old holler tree and check in with Sparky. We have $365 to go in fundraising to finish the week, and hopefully we'll knock that out in the next couple of hours. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob, I'm going shopping tomorrow. First thing I'm going to do is check the price of Corona beer.
It ain't worth it.
Well, I walk right by it.
You know, talk about rotten luck. The big thing in fermented malt beverages these days are the hard seltzers. I mean, you've seen the White Claw and stuff like that. Well, Corona just rolled out their version of a seltzer.
I saw that.
Somewhere there's a beer executive going, God damn it! I can't win! We were ready to capitalize on all the skinny little millennial girls that are drinking the hard seltzer. Jesus Christ! are you feeling better? I know you were poorly.
Oh yeah, I just felt bad for a while, and I was having leg cramps last night.
Oh, those hurt.
Anyway, everything's fine today.
Oh, good. I just saw a piece of breaking news. The cruise ship that's off the California coast that they helicoptered the test kits onto. 21 people on that ship have tested positive so far.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Hey. I wonder how long they've been out. Where did they go? Where was their port of call?
They went to Hawaii. And they were returning from Hawaii.
Well, have you heard what if there's an outbreak in Hawaii?
Let me check my. My thing doesn't show that there is, but I mean. That was their last stop. I don't know where else. Hey, you know who doesn't have it?
Who?
Easter Island. The most remote place on Earth.
Well, that kind of figures.
But it's in New Zealand. But I need the Horn ad, somebody in the Horn ad hoc research department to figure out what the ports of call were on that ship. But I guess that that's shocking. They wanted
to bring them into the United States, but I didn't want to because that would raise the numbers here.
He doesn't even understand that it's probably it's attributable to the U.S. anyway. Jesus.
Yeah, the people on that cruise ship will probably go nuts like those people in China were in that documentary.
I can't imagine, because I guess, you know, you please stay in your rooms and, you know.
Yeah, but if they were returning to port, they must be running out of supply of food. And
probably, yeah. Of course, the amount of food waste on those vessels is shocking. Because they, you know, that's one of their selling points, is it? Lots and lots of food, all you can eat. Ugh.
Yeah, well, how, if they, well, 20 people have it. I wonder if there's a doctor on that ship.
There usually is, or some sort of reasonably well-trained medical staff, maybe a nurse practitioner or something. I mean, it's kind of astonishing that there are 43 confirmed cases in Iceland. I mean, for God's sakes, there's one confirmed case in the Faroe Islands, you know, between Iceland and Scotland.
Takes a hard imagining. Well, there probably was a shit ton of foreigners in China when this outbreak happened.
Oh, yeah. They got out. Well, that documentary. Yeah, that documentary from the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company, talks about how it mentions the number of Australians who were in China, and they interview two or three of them, and they were desperate to get out.
Yeah, well, there's that one guy at the end of it. He couldn't get out. He had the tickets to get out, but he couldn't get out.
Right.
Out of his apartment.
Yeah, he couldn't get his paperwork. Squared away. You know, looking at the map that I have, it's interesting. Somehow or another, Mother Russia shows as not having a single case.
Oh, bullshit.
Precisely. I don't believe that.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Wait. I found my red dot. Hold on. They have 13. And all that means is that they're suppressing information, because these things are very, very damaging to authoritarian regimes. But it sure would be nice if somebody would go and sneeze on huggable, lovable, cuddleable, sweet, wouldn't hurt a fly, big bad Vladdy Daddy, wouldn't it?
Did you say Russia has 13 reported cases?
Yes, I said that.
He didn't stutter.
13.
Got a news flash. 21 people have been diagnosed as having coronavirus on that godforsaken ship outside of the California coast, outside of San Francisco.
Yeah, I mentioned
just came
that,
across.
Yeah, that I just saw, I mentioned that about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Here's my take on the Russian report of corona cases, 13 in a country that size, 12 time zones or whatever. I'd like to have a dollar for every case above 13 that eventually we find out about.
Well, but we won't, because they are a repressive.
Yeah, I know.
They're a clamped down fascist dictatorship. Raups, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening, provides a little data on the cruise ship. San Francisco City officials said Thursday the Grand Princess cruise ship is carrying a total of 2,422 guests and 1,111 crew members representing 54 nationalities. 35 of those on board have shown flu-like symptoms. However, samples from 45 people were collected and flown to a state lab in Richmond, California, to be tested for COVID-19.
Guests on board the cruise have been given complimentary phone and internet access, because usually when you get on one of those things, internet access is brutally expensive. And the cruise line's also helping passengers get medication refills while aboard ship.
Boy, the California Air National Guard will be busy.
And they, okay, so here's the itinerary. Let's see. The Princess cruise ship originally departed from San Francisco on February 11th for a trip through the Mexican Riviera. During that trip, which ended February 21st, three people developed coronavirus. One of those patients, a 71-year-old Placer County, it's Placer County, isn't it?
Yeah.
Placer County man died of the virus, marking the first death in California. The same cruise ship later embarked on a trip to Hawaii, and according to the cruise line, some of those on board the Mexico cruise stayed on the ship for the Hawaii trip. That trip began February 21st, arrived in Hawaii February 26th. The ship then stopped on Kauai, Oahu, Maui, and in the city of Hilo. The cruise ship left the Hawaiian Islands February 29th and was en route to Ensenada, Mexico, but is now heading to San Francisco because of the coronavirus outbreak and the Placer County man's death.
They didn't say what town he was from, though.
No.
Squeaky lives in Placer County. He lives in Placerville.
Placerville, right. And so this, you know, this gang of ne'er-do-wells and thugs and grifters by his own admission, deliberately trying to suppress the reality of the disease.
On top of that,
thanks for the chart, Steve.
What was the dollar amount that he signed with his Klansman hood signature? $8 billion?
8.3, I think.
Okay, how much of that is going to go to his cronies who are in the medical field? You know that's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
You know, and then and if there's any left over, they'll say, well, we'll just put it toward the wall. It's the same shit, different day sort of deal, you know? Jesus. If we survive this 4 years, it's going to be an effing miracle, to be sure.
Yeah. Squeaky just corrected me. Placerville is in El Dorado County.
Oh, okay. I'll be darned. Okay, I see that in the chat room.
Well, I know.
That makes perfect sense.
Placer County, because my sister used to live there.
Oh, and two coronavirus victims also attended the AIPAC conference, you know, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Two coronavirus victims attended the AIPAC conference where Mike Pencilneck Geek stood up and burbled for a bit. Yeah. And that is just across the river from D.C., in Maryland. So, for all we know, the Vice President of the United States is now an active vector of the disease. And all those, you know, all those Republicans who showed up. Oh, dear.
Well, I'm only going out once a week, so, and then other than that, I don't have any contact with any other human beings, except my neighbor.
I think it's gonna get more and more interesting.
I'm sure it will. Did you see where Bernie told Rachel to get MSNBC to have him on for a one-hour debate just about health care?
No, I didn't.
It was when she interviewed him the other night.
I caught some clips of her interview with Elizabeth Warren, though. and
both of those were very good interviews, I thought.
Yeah. But I just every now and then it just makes my spidey sense tingle when I start hearing, because and this isn't me casting stones or gooning on them, but just because I tend to look out into the distance a little bit, looking for things that could, you know, that might be onrushing locomotives with us tied to the damn tracks. She and, Maddow and Warren talked about, and Maddow initiated it, saying how much, how depressed she was that once again, we're not even going to have a chance to have a woman president. And it went along the lines of, you know, I've almost begun to wonder if we're ever even going to have one in my lifetime. Rachel Maddow said that. And Elizabeth Warren said, oh, don't say that. We'll just have to wait a little longer. And there was some part of that that made me cringe. Because what they're discounting, and this is the dangerous part of it, I think, what they're discounting is the possibility that the first woman president will be a Republican. And so when people say, oh, we need a woman president, which, you know, on general principle, I agree with. But we don't need first woman president Ivanka or first woman president Nimrata Haley. And what I've been trying to sort of think through and flesh out is, you know, is that really the metric? Is it have a woman president, any woman president? Because, see, I've got this sneaking suspicion based on the performance of women in government like Joni Ernst and Marsha Blackburn and Liz Cheney, Virginia Double X Fox from North Carolina. I've got a pretty good sense that having a Republican woman president wouldn't be any better for America or for women, America in general, or women in particular, than any other man who was a Republican president. But down the road, say maybe in the 2024 campaign, if the Republicans are running, if the Republicans nominate a woman for the presidency, they're gonna beat us over our little punkin' heads. What do you mean? You done said all along it was time for a woman president. Y'all nominated some man. But we got us a woman over here. All the feminists need to come and vote for this here Republican woman so we can have us a woman president. And so it just strikes me as disingenuous to say we need a woman president and not at least frame it in terms of we need a democratic woman to be the first president of the United States. First woman, female president of the United States.
We need a progressive woman to be the first female president of the United States.
You know what would be fun? You may have heard that Elizabeth Warren has not endorsed anybody. What if things are really tight between Biden and Sanders? We get to the convention and there's a big Donnybrook on the floor and nobody can make up their mind. Nobody's got quite enough numbers. And as a compromise, neither Bernie or Biden get in, but they, by acclamation, make Warren the nominee. That would be fun, I think. I don't know that it'll happen, but it'd be interesting to watch.
Can I weigh in as a woman?
Oh, please do.
We were so hoping.
Are you going to represent that entire demographic?
Well, yes. Probably not. Not yes. Very well.
No, maybe, no. But, sorry. Tracy's already established the rule. You have to.
Yes.
Right. And I feel like Tracy and I are, even though I'm white and she's black, we're sisters on this because I think both of us liked Elizabeth Warren, and I feel just absolutely awful about what happened. And I understand your argument, Bob. I totally get it. I feel like and please take this with a grain of salt. I feel like it's a little too convenient because you're a white guy saying this about, you know, a woman as somebody who, I feel conflicted, but I'm wondering if, and this makes me sick to my stomach to say it, I'm wondering if it's going to take a Republican woman as president to break that ceiling and hopefully pave the way for a Democratic woman. Okay, I threw it out there. I'm sorry. I'm not agreeing with it.
No.
But I'm wondering.
But, well,
I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid you and Bob both right, Charlie.
I'm upset. I'm upset about Elizabeth. She was the most capable of, you know, and that's not to say I don't like Bernie. I do. But she, I don't know.
She had a better fighting chance of surviving her first term in office.
Well, yes, she was the healthiest. And also, I would have loved to have seen her hammer away at Trump the way she did Bloomberg.
Yeah.
And no matter what she did, she apparently could not get much, quote unquote, traction. I don't understand it. But it's disappointing. As a woman looking at this, I'm disappointed. Yeah, I'm just disappointed.
She really brought her axe handle to those debates. Against Bloomberg, it was amazing.
Make no mistake, Darlene. I'm not disagreeing. No. I'm fully cognizant of my white male privilege, but I'm not gonna just throw it away. I'm not saying you're suggesting I do. When I see something that's deeply disturbing, because. You know, if you think about it,
right?
It's sickening enough to watch Republican men who have Republican women as accomplices go after the rights of women all over this country to the their constitutional right to the autonomy of their bodies.
How
much more sickening then would it be to have a female Republican president who administers the removal of those rights?
Well, you have a point there, but we also had Amy Klobuchar, who was also a woman that, you know, kind of is, well, not kind of, but is the establishment, and that still wasn't good enough. So it's like, what the fuck is it going to take? I would love to hear Tracy's perspective as a black woman, because, again, I have another level of privilege as a white woman, but I would like to, you know, hear her take if she's listening. But I feel like what can women do? It's almost like I still feel like we're still being held to a very high standard that we can't meet.
Oh, look, there was a number done on Elizabeth Warren. You know, my filthy morning habit. I watched it morning in and morning out. As that whole crowd there went after her,
and to a certain extent, she did it. She did a number on herself too. I mean, she didn't run the best. I mean, she did a number on herself too. But that said, so do the white men that run, and they are cut a hell of a lot more slack.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be perfect.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like. Hold on, Scott. Hold on. Just 2 points before this thing, you know, really gets far afield. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the last couple of days, if you look on social media, you know that little snake emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie supporters have been using it in reference to Elizabeth Warren because she won't get down on the ground and kiss Bernie's toe.
Well, and that's, you know, and I had a disagreement with my dear friend up in Canada. She's claiming that she's hearing from her American friends because she came over the border into Maine to vote. And she was all Elizabeth Warren. And I was stunned that she was pissed off at Elizabeth and wound up voting for Bernie. And I'm like, what happened? She goes, well, I'm sick and tired of the fact that, that Elizabeth went after Bernie, and we don't want other progressives going after other progressives. And I said, I did not.
Well, yeah, what that amounts to is failure to worship.
You know, I adore her, but I was like, where are you hearing this? That Elizabeth, maybe she did say, but I did not see the reports that Elizabeth was accusing Bernie of not having gotten anything done when he was in the Senate. I said, Hillary Clinton said that. The moderates like Klobuchar and others said that, but I don't remember Elizabeth saying that. Do you? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I
don't think she did. I know that Biden did. I know that Buttigieg did. All of them did when it was a whole bunch of them up there.
Right, but Elizabeth didn't, right?
Right.
Okay, that's right. What I thought. So I don't know. There's some misinformation going on.
What happened in the last couple of days, Darlene, is, you know, when she said, I'm not going to, you know, because, I need just to try to cogently flesh all this out. You mentioned Klobuchar. I don't take her candidacy seriously. I never did.
I get that.
I didn't take her candidacy seriously, just as I didn't take Pete Buttigieg's candidacy seriously, because I saw them, as well as Michael Bloomberg, who at least admitted it. I saw them all as stalking horses for Biden. They were all there just in case it turned out that Biden, because he has a track record of falling apart in presidential races. He had never finished better than fourth in a primary until South Carolina last Saturday. All right, he won his first over 30 years. He won his first presidential primary at the tender age of 77, and he's still proving to be gaffe prone. I will joyfully vote for him if he's the nominee. Okay, be clear about it. Same with Bernie.
Not me.
But
I'll vote for him, but not joyfully. But well, Bob,
I just want to please just one second. Because I've got an object example of how horrible, or not how horrible, but how equally horrible having a woman chief executive can be. And it happened last night. Kay Ivey, the Republican governor of Alabama, refused to intervene in the horizontal crucifixion of an African-American man who was convicted in a sketchy, dodgy, error-filled trial of three murders that he did not commit. And Kay Ivey said, fuck it, we're killing him anyway. We got a culture of life down here in Alabama, but it don't apply to no grown-up black men. It only applies to precious little fetuses. And the idea of having a female president of the United States who's a Republican working that kind of evil on a countrywide basis fills me with the same sort of sickening dread that having a male Republican do it does. And that's, I think, the kernel of my contention. And that is that it is not primarily, in the world of politics, it ain't gender, it's ideology.
Yeah, but it still is gender because it's still men in power. I'm not disagreeing, but I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable. But
No. But can we at least say when this conversation between people like Elizabeth Warren and Rachel Maddow goes forward, can we say we need a Democrat woman first female president of the United States?
Oh, I would love that.
Because I don't want us to be beaten over the head when they run some fascist freak and start screaming at us that she has to be the first woman president because of gender.
I guess your point, Bob, is that female leaders can suck just as much as men. Basically, you have to look at the individual and what their ideology is, their party affiliation.
Yeah, and I mean, remember, we did nominate Hillary, and Hillary did win the popular vote by more than 3 million votes. She beat Trump by as much as she beat Bernie in the primaries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I look, when I was in at university, Geraldine Ferraro was running for vice president against George Herbert Walker Bush, and I watched the debate against between the two of them. And I and again, my political sense was very much in its infancy. And I made the mistake of going to a Jesuit school. Okay. The next day, I thought she did a great job in that debate. I thought she did a great job. She was the first woman to really break some ground here in terms of the higher office. And when I got into my political science classroom, as I majored in poli sci, the extent of my political science teacher was that she did a horrible job because she acted too much like a lawyer. That was the extent of his fucking analysis. And I sat there saying, wait a minute. I was stunned. I'm like, I thought she did a good job. That is the extent of his political analysis, is she acted too much like a lawyer. And then when I was sitting there, I heard one of my male classmates mutter in the background, oh, a black man will be elected before a woman ever will. And I was stunned at what I was hearing. And he turned out to be right. I don't even remember who my classmate was, but those words burn in my mind. And I'm thinking, you know, and here we are. This was like over 20 years ago. Over 20 years ago.
84.
You're right, Scott. Absolutely right. And it's like, And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying any of you are wrong. Bob, no.
I voted for it.
I grieve. I'm grieving over this. I feel like I feel like a sense of loss. It's like, how much more can we women take?
I know. You have company. I mean, our dear friend Chris in Germany is just devastated. And I desperately wanted her to stay in. Because among other things, I thought there was an intrinsic value for her to maintain her campaign, if not in an active state, then at least a sort of quiescent stasis going into the convention, in case whoever it is that's the nominee drops fucking dead.
Well, see,
I mean, I have nightmares about that. I have had a nightmare. I have had a nightmare where
I agree.
The Democratic nominee, long about late September, early October, fucking dies because they're ancient.
I agree. Well,
can we take a couple of minutes and run this simulation, this scenario that I'm talking about? Because it seems, in my mind, it seems to work in a number of different ways. First of all, in an art of war sort of thing, if the longer you can have Bernie and Biden trading pot shots or whatever at one another, duking it out, so to speak, that's where Trump and company will put their focus and their resources. Because if they're center stage, Bernie and Biden going back and forth, and then we ultimately get to the convention, that's going to be in July sometime, as I understand it. So then you've got August, September, October. You've got, you know, the actual campaign that starts really kicking in after Labor Day. Let's say that that they cannot come to an agreement at the convention as to whether it's Bernie or Biden. And somehow someone gets the bright idea, and it would be a bright idea, to say, a pox on both your houses. Let's put Elizabeth in. She's smart. She's capable. She's younger. The women would
power
just go completely.
Power should be, you never let it happen.
Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't.
Exactly, Sparky. I'm grieving.
I'm so sure.
I feel a sense of grief, because, and that's not to say, Bob, Scott, that's not to say that I was sold on Elizabeth. I actually was very interested in what Bernie was saying. He's been very consistent, but this is, I don't know, for some reason, I think this is hitting me hard. And I think, and I've been reading a lot of articles where it's hitting women pretty hard.
It absolutely is.
Walk with me for another couple of moments. there are a lot of people who, if Bernie is not the nominee, for them, that they would much sooner vote for Elizabeth Warren than they would for Biden. So you've got that of the scenario.
But it ain't going to happen.
Well, how do you know that? None of us knows. I'm just saying what would be an interesting
All she can do at this point, and this is what got her this is what got her all the snake emojis on social media, is she is not endorsing either candidate at this point in time. Now, that may change in the near future.
Good.
But.
I hope she holds out.
So what she's got is a little handful of delegates that she can take with her to the convention, and if her delegates will make the difference between a clear first ballot majority versus a first ballot plurality, you know, not hitting that 1900 and some odd delegate threshold, but her delegates will put it over that. Then she can put a candidate over the top. That's what she can do.
But Bob, I'm reading a lot of articles. Maybe they're bullshit, but they're saying that her supporters are going to split between Sanders and Biden. Do you buy that?
Yeah, but the delegates stay. The delegates have been allotted.
It's about the dollars. Can I say something? It's always
like
about the dollars. Hey, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Welcome back.
Well, thank
you. Steve. What's going on, man? Hey, you feeling better?
Yeah, man. Great. The month of February was hell.
What the hell happened?
I had acute pancreatitis.
I've had it, and I can tell you there's nothing cute about it.
Oh, my God. The first week was tough. The last 3 weeks have been
I'm giving myself a cowbell for that. I don't care what any of you say.
All standards are dropped, Bob.
Allow me to interject something here real quick. It's always about the dollars, man. Biden is their failsafe because they knew that Sanders and Warden would blow up the healthcare industry. You're talking a multi-billion-dollar industry. And somehow they finagled, and at least Bloomberg was honest about it, a way to get Biden in there to make him the front runner. That's my take.
Steve, that's what I meant when I said that Klobuchar and Pete and Bloomberg were all stalking horses for Bernie. That's what that phrase means.
Are you honestly saying you picked up on that before Super Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, because it didn't occur to me until after Super Tuesday, because then I'm like, this feels rigged to me.
Well Bannon's their campaign right before Super Tuesday. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, that you had two candidates, one after the other, and then you had Beto as the third endorsement for Biden.
I get that, Rick, but leading up to that point, to me... I'm agreeing with Bob, but I did not pick up on that this was.
I didn't either. Bob's so far out there that it's like a straight road, you know?
Well, right. here's the deal, Steve. I get what you're saying, that Warren and Sanders to the establishment are not attractive candidates, thanks to the possibility of losing all those pharmaceutical and medical insurance big buck contributions. But
they'll be back.
Child's wish list at Christmas time. Never, except with really rich children, like maybe Trump, when he was a child. And God, that's a scary thought to think of him as a child. I think of the bad seed, but the male version. If anybody knows.
You're still a man, baby, Scott.
But what I'm saying is, it's always inspirational and aspirational. And on Christmas morning, you never get everything that you had on your wish list. And we
that
to,
pony
to
was
lose
never
sight
fucking
of that,
there.
What?
I said that pony right, was so never fucking
ask,
there. Yeah, go to
the pony. Yeah. Can I ask then, gentlemen?
I've got stuff on my wish list.
All
gentlemen,
right, so,
who came in?
You're all gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned. But I guess I have to ask them, then, because I want to get it. I want to get the grief over with and get into the acceptance mode here. So, is it pretty much a done deal that Biden will be our nominee?
Yes, I think so. I think it's probably a 95% chance.
Unless he screws up really badly at the debate next weekend.
Well, the thing is, the debate is too late to help Bernie. Bernie has got to win Michigan. The only way a Warren endorsement helps Bernie is if it's in time to help him, to help give him a bump before Michigan.
All right,
if he
so
doesn't get Michigan, he's like
primary.
70 delegates behind now.
So there is one more debate. I didn't know that.
After Michigan.
Open or closed primary.
Yeah.
Roger? Is that
right? Yeah, it's Roger. Yes, it's Roger. Is Michigan an open or closed primary?
I think it's open.
Okay. here's the thing I've been following on. Biden won 6 of 7 open primary states.
Open as opposed to closed?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Bernie Sanders won 5 of 6, I believe it is, closed primary. There is a thing going around from the Republican right-wing side called Chaos 2020. And it's Republicans voting in the Democratic primary for Biden because they figure Biden is going to be the easier person to beat. And the statistics I have not found when I've been doing my searching is the voter turnout. The number of people who voted in the Democratic primary in open states compared to previous Democratic primaries in open states. And I'm beginning to think that Biden's jump is a concentrated, concerned effort by Republicans to vote in the Democratic primaries to get Biden to be the nominee because he would be the easier one to beat. Now, if anybody can dig out the research on the changes of the numbers of people voting in open state Democratic primaries compared to past primary elections, this could be a very significant data point.
Mm. Wow, that is a
well,
Roger,
you're on to something,
New York
Roger.
Level.
You definitely
balance.
Are.
Okay,
now,
here's
the same scenario
as
in 72 when it was Nixon and McGovern. The Republicans, and it's a historical truth that they orchestrated events to make sure that they ran against McGovern. They got Muskie out of the way very quickly.
The Canuck letter.
All right. They wanted to run, well, the Canuck letter, and I'm reading The Boys on the Bus, which is Timothy Krause's recounting of being on the campaign buses. Oh, I read it years ago, but I got a new copy, a used copy, to reread it. But what I'm saying is, yes, you're right. They want Biden to be the nominee, Trump and his goons, okay? But again, this would be my scenario, and I'm going to be like a dog with a bone. I'm not going to let go of it right away. If we pull a switcheroo at a pivotal time and make Warren the nominee, it throws them a curve, because how far will Trump's rantings about Pocahontas on a debate stage carry him? With his support group, of course, but most people will see that here you've got a capable woman standing there ready to be president up against the tangerine tinted tyrant or twerp, whichever you prefer. And the choice becomes obvious in that scenario.
Okay, well, let's go through a few little facts here. I'm going to read to you directly from the state of Michigan's Bureau of Elections the answer to the question that Roger asked. Question: Do I have to be a registered Republican or Democrat to participate in Michigan's presidential primary? Answer, no. Michigan's presidential primary has been designated a closed primary. There is no political party registration requirement in Michigan election law. Any Michigan registered voter can participate in the primary. By law, you must make your ballot selection in writing by completing the application to vote ballot selection form on election day or on the absent voter ballot application form if voting absentee. Question. What is the difference between an open primary and a closed primary? Voters in an open primary are given a ballot with a column listing each qualified party's candidates. Voters then decide which party primary they wish to participate in by voting only in the column of their party choice while in the privacy of the voting station. Voting for candidates in more than a single party's column will void the entire partisan ballot. Voters in closed primaries must state the party primary they wish to participate in before being issued a ballot. The ballot given to the voters only has candidates of the party that corresponds to the voter's choice, which is kind of a bizarre way of defining it. Because
for that instance, is an absolute bullshit argument.
Well, so it's not an argument. It is. It's a statement of fact by the Michigan Bureau of Elections.
No. It's not even a statement of fact. It says that when I walk into the polling station, I tell the clerk what ballot I want. That is an open primary.
That's my understanding of it.
I do not have to be a registered Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary from what you just read. I can be a registered Republican,
right,
walk into the primary ballot box area and say, I would like a Democratic ballot. They will give me a Democratic ballot and I can vote the Democratic ballot, even if I'm a registered Democrat, a Republican.
Right.
California used to be a closed primary. And I was very active in Democratic politics when I was in California. And if you were not a registered Democrat prior to the election day, when you went to the polls, you got a Democratic ballot. Or you got a Republican ballot if you were a Republican. And if you were declined to state, then you got one that didn't have Republicans or Democrats on it, and you did the rest of it. Then they transitioned to this open primary, where when you walk in, you request a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot, except in some cases, like the true open primary, is you get a ballot with every name on it, everybody running for president, everybody running for Senate, all the rest of it, which is how we got two Democrats running against each other for the Senate in the last election. The
so-called jungle primary.
It doesn't
apply to the presidency.
No, well, it doesn't.
I would have to probably.
I didn't see Trump's name on the ballot when I voted. With my ballot.
Registered Democrat, you get a Democratic presidential.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think all the other offices are jungle primary.
Okay, well, I'm trying. But
if you're a Republican, you get on that. You get Republican president. If say Trump wasn't running, you'd only see Republicans. But then everybody else in every other race, you could see if they were Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, you've got number up. Can you figure out from that main thing if I were a pro-Trump individual? Could I vote for Joe Biden in the main Democratic primary?
Michigan. Yes.
Okay.
But what you do when you do that, if you live in a state that has significant down ballot races that matter, you forfeit the right to support the candidate of your choosing, you know, because you're a Republican. So you're abandoning the rest of your party to go and fuck with the other party's presidential nominee.
And do you think Trump pansies wouldn't do that?
No, I think they would. Now, here's the next step, though. By my understanding, and David in South Carolina, Stan, can tell me better, the turnout numbers in South Carolina on the Democratic side We're not talking about Republicans crossing over or being assholes. We're talking about Democratic turnout was bigger than it was in 2008. So it wasn't a bunch of mugwump Republicans that kicked the living shit out of Bernie Sanders in South Carolina. It was South Carolina Democrats that kicked the living shit out of Bernie Sanders in South Carolina.
But in none of these states, like you said in 2016 or in the primaries leading up to Hillary being the eventual nominee, it burns in my memory, Bob, you had said that none of these southern states are going to vote for her or go for her in the general election. So it has to be the same kind of idea in terms of Joe Biden, correct? In terms of Super Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, I've already said that.
All right, so we haven't learned. The DNC and the Democratic Party hasn't fucking learned from the mistakes of 2016.
Well, but they
which
have.
I think is also Darlene, disheartening.
But, Darlene, they have to a certain extent.
Okay, inform me, because I'm not seeing it. Go ahead.
California voted in June in 2016 in their primary. They voted on Super Tuesday this time through.
Okay, so that's a good thing. Now, my friend from Canada is claiming that I'm seeing all the reports that are saying that California delegates went to Bernie. She's saying, oh, no, they're still counting votes. They have to look at the absentee ballots. So which is it? Are we still are we still uncertain about California?
Yeah, you won't know anything about California for about 3 weeks because so many people vote by mail.
The latest I've seen for the delegate count in California is Bernie had something like 164, and I think Biden had like maybe, was it like 107 or something? So he got a good bump out of California, but not really large enough to offset all of his losses by huge margins in a lot of other states.
Looking further into the future, if Bernie does not win Michigan, I think you can say he's toast.
I think so.
But after that, still comes Florida, and I'm willing to bet, you know, like a nickel, that he will get pasted in Florida.
And, just because of the Castro comment?
Among other things, and the fact that Florida is God's waiting room, and they're going to vote for Biden.
Yep. So basically, it sounds like there will, depending on Michigan, it sounds like there will probably not be a brokered Democratic convention.
Not necessarily, because see, you remember that question that was asked at one of the pageants, I think the pageant before last, maybe it was Nevada, where everybody had to put their hands in the air about how they thought it should work out in the convention. And everybody but Bernie answered, let the process work out as the process is designed.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie said, nope. Whoever has the most delegates at the end of the first ballot needs to win.
I remember that. Yes. So he
that may come back to haunt him.
I think he has since repeated that statement in an interview after Super Tuesday, Bob.
So either it's a gross miscalculation, Billable, or he knows something we all don't. But
he's already said he'll support the candidate with the most delegates when they go to the convention.
Plurality. That way the candidates themselves take the superdelegates off the table, which is actually the most democratic way of going about it.
But my hope is that if there is a way for him to extract something out of Biden, I'm hoping he could at least extract a promise out of Biden. Well, he's a fucking liar and he exhibits poor judgment, but maybe we could get something out of him where he could at least extract a promise out of Biden that he will not fuck with Social Security, because he has a long history of it. Bob, I sent you that article from Forbes. Yeah. So it's like,
yes,
I'm hoping at least we can get something out of it.
Well, yeah. And,
you know, if it's a nomination, I'm probably going to shoot my foot no matter who I vote for, because they're going to cut Social Security.
Oh.
And, you know, this is one of those "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God" moments.
And Medicare.
Because, you know, I saw a thing the other day where sometime back, back when CHIP was being passed, you know, the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Yeah.
Where Bernie introduced an amendment to the CHIP bill to exclude some children from coverage by CHIP. So, you know, this is the problem of having a long history in the Congress. You make deals, you do things that you know are going to bite you in the ass later, and, you know, and you deal with it. You know, it was, I mean, Jesus. I remember a story that was told by a member of Congress. It happened when we were on the Libboat cruise years and years ago. And a member of Congress told this story about being on a plane with Barack Obama and said, if you could have your one fondest wish as president, what would it be? And what this member of Congress said, Obama answered, was entitlement reform.
I remember that, yes.
It's a fetish. It is a fetish object.
Bastards, man. Gotta get your hands on their money. Anyway, hook or crook, man, they're gonna do it.
I just can't take it anymore. I just want to just like grieve, accept it, and move on, and it's probably gonna be Biden.
And hold your nose if you have.
I'm not going to be skipping to the loo. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not, because I'm a woman. I'm coming for the, look at how he fucking treated Anita Hill.
Yeah.
I do not. Oh, yeah. This is why I'd love to hear from Tracy. It's just, when I think about how he treated African-Americans and his constant history of poor judgment and everything else, we are not going to be, we'll be a little bit better off because it won't be Trump. But again, we're not going to make a lot of progress with him. I am sorry, but we're not.
Darlene, can I please just try to maybe make it feel a little bit better?
Okay, please. Oh my God, coming from the guy who's a fucking ray of sunshine.
The little ray of fucking sunshine.
Yeah. I'm for it.
No, yeah, but I will definitely make you feel better. So go ahead, Bob.
And there's
love you guys.
There's always a story involved, so just bear with me here. And we're coming up on the end of the second hour of the program. We've still got $365 to raise to finish the end of the week, so I'm just going to put that on the table and walk away. Okay, so and this is a story coming out of the struggle against mountaintop removal. We did some protesting and stuff here in West Virginia during the Reign of Error. You know, when they were changing the rules and making it okay to bury streams and kill everything that lived, we did some local protesting. But when Barack Obama got into office, Bo Webb organized something called Appalachia Rising. And we got, and once Obama was in the White House, we got literally thousands of people in front of the White House to send a message to Barack Obama that what was happening in Appalachia wasn't okay. It didn't end mountaintop removal, but it damned well got their attention. And we got to the table. We had numerous meetings with the Council on Environmental Quality because they were at least willing to listen. And out of that listening and out of those efforts, eventually comes the AIC Act. And we're still working on it, okay? We haven't had a mass gathering in front of the Trump White House because it is absolutely useless, okay? If you've got if you've got Biden in the White House, you've at least got a reason to go and try to drag him kicking and screaming into the late 20th century, if not the 21st. You don't have that with Trump's second term. Trump gang wanting to relax mercury standards for coal-fired power plants. During the 8 years of Obama's presidency, mercury emissions, by virtue of what they did, were reduced by 85%. And now
probably lead as well, right?
And now they're trying to drive those numbers. The Trumpers are trying to drive those numbers back up. Darlene, I know because I remember. You know, I was a young journalist when the Clarence Thomas hearings were taking place, and even though I was supposed to be, you know, that maintain that vaunted journalistic objectivity, which is largely horseshit, by the way, I remember the shabby way that Anita Hill was treated. Okay? But the question, once all the dust has settled, the question will not be between Bernie and how Bernie feels about women and Biden and how Biden feels about women. It will be a question of Biden and Anita Hill versus a guy who brags about grabbing women by their genitals. And that will be the decision.
Well, Bob, let's not forget the Credit Card Reform Act either.
You're absolutely right.
And Bob, just real quick, Bob, I my concern about Biden, and again, if he's the nominee, it sounds like he will be. I will vote for him as upset as that is for me. But I want to say that I'm worried because I think once Biden gets that power, the greatest power on this planet, he's going to be a miserable motherfucker. And you may not find that he's any better than Trump. Just saying, I've thrown that out there. But I understand it's sort of like putting the bet on the roulette wheel. You're putting the best bet you can think of, okay. And I get that.
Okay,
but
what if I tell you that Joe Biden is your best bet to your first woman president?
Well, then I agree because I'm thinking to myself, whoever is selected as a vice president, like you've been saying, is going to be critically important here. And it'd be interesting to see if both men that remain are going to name their VPs. And well, if that's the case,
ahead of the convention.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Biden is going to take the government of Michigan, the current government of Michigan.
But I want to say, my friend, they're already talking
about it.
My friend who is 77, who, you know, I do agree with her. She's extremely progressive. She marched in the 1960s. She's exhausted like I am. She said, hands down, Biden will not select a woman as a VP. That's what she said. Wow.
What's her basis for that?
Darlene?
She is a retired psychotherapist, and she, like I said, she marched in the 1960s. She's like way left liberal, progressive, like Bob is. That's her take on it. And so typically, she turns out to be right, and she moved to Canada. She just became a citizen at the end of January around her birthday. She's out of here, but she came over the border a couple of days ago to vote in Maine.
What was, you faded out there, Darlene. What was her take?
Her take is that Biden will not tap a woman to be his VP.
All right. Well, let me help you.
I think she's basing it on his poor judgment, on the fact on how miserably he treated Anita Hill. And just based on her life experience, she's 77 and she's a child of the 60s. Let's just put it that way. She could be wrong, but that's what she said.
Senator Ted Kaufman said in the book, The Unwinding, about Joe Biden, Joe Biden is an equal opportunity disappointer. Now, Ted Kaufman took Biden's seat after Biden became vice president. That's all I'm saying. But to help you feel somewhat better, hopefully, Darlene, Today is March 6th, 2020. Election Day is November 3rd, 2020. There are at least 100 or 200 steps between now and Election Day, and we're embarking upon step five. And we've got a long way to go. Anything, not anything, but any number of things can happen between now and the convention in July and Election Day. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks, Scott. And like Bob says, it's only going to get weirder.
Well, when the going gets weird.
And Darlene, I've got to differ with your friend in Canada, for one reason, and that is that Biden has never been a front runner before, and there are some of the most talented political professionals who are signed on with him now. And precisely because of the issues that you have raised, he almost, I mean, it. In fact, Billable Rick a few minutes ago mentioned Whitmer in Michigan. And, you don't give somebody the response to the State of the Union on a whim. It's a test run. Young Joe Kennedy failed his miserably a couple of years ago, if you recall.
Well, the Republicans do it on a whim. Who was the one who gave the
Marco Rubio was self-desiccating on camera. You know, he couldn't
with the Poland Water famous on that.
Yeah, the bottomless water bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Gretchen Whitmer acquitted herself very well.
She sounded really good on the radio. I didn't see her.
I just heard her. Very calming, very soothing, not shrieking. You know, it didn't haul out and didn't handle any snakes or anything like that. Didn't offer to anoint anybody with Crisco. She came. She came across as calm and competent. She does not check off all the boxes, but she checks off one very important one.
Okay.
And that is her gender. I don't think there's any way.
In Michigan. Michigan's another one.
Yeah, that's two. Yeah. And I don't think there's any way Biden nominates a guy.
Well, what about Stacey Abrams then? How about a black woman?
No, too risky.
She's never even won.
Exactly.
She's never even won a statewide race.
Bottom line, his choice has to be in line with what is going to win for the Democrats in November. And if the choice is between Stacey Abrams and the governor of Michigan, he's going to pick the governor of Michigan. Electorally, it makes sense. He's already got massive black support. And I can see where Stacey Abrams might be a good pick, but given the circumstances of this upcoming election in November, the Michigan governor would more than likely be a better choice.
But nobody's really heard of her until this recent, when she did. You're saying she's the one that did the response to the SOTU address, right, Bob?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so nobody, I never heard of her until that point in time. So she,
I hadn't either.
Well, I had, but
people hadn't heard of Obama.
She's, I know, Bob, because you do this 24/7. You're a tremendous thinker. I'm not able to do that, but I never heard of her basically in terms of my time with being caught up with my work and my disability and everything else.
Yeah.
So this was the first time that I was introduced
to
her.
What makes her appealing, Darlene, is the fact that she won. She took the governorship of Michigan away from the Republicans. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember Rick Snyder. Rick Snyder, the man who poisoned Flint.
Yeah.
So, how progressive is she then?
I would have to defer to our friends in Michigan. Maybe somebody like our pal Joy up in Ann Arbor. Maybe Merle.
I would She comes across to me as a moderate in terms of how she goes about speaking about things, but she's very effective politically at, you know, making Trump look bad, or, you know, in a nice way, you know?
All right. So yeah, we're basically still moderate, still, right, and, you know, basically right of center.
But not as obnoxious as Amy Klobuchar.
And
Amy Klobuchar was just made me nervous because she looks like she could have a breakdown at any moment because she's so trying to keep it in control. I'm sorry, I don't want to say that, but you know, when you see that seething, Pete Buttigieg brought that out of her, Bob, you would know that too, that you could see that seething anger and it, like her staff.
She looks like she's just itching to throw a notebook at somebody.
That's all, Bob. That's nothing.
I'm stressed out watching her, and you're right. I don't want to be stressed out, and I'm stressed out watching her.
I'm stressed out
watching Biden, and you know, Bernie. I'm not stressed out. I wasn't stressed out.
I watch Biden, and I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the next strange thing to emerge from his mouth. I watch Bernie and I'm waiting for him to go and grab his chest and die on stage.
But you know what, Bob, let me ask you this, guys, here's another question. Okay, do you think that Trump would be more likely to debate Bernie or more likely to debate Biden?
Biden.
Okay,
he won't debate Bernie.
He won't debate him, but he's got why.
Are you kidding? Ukraine? Nitwit Nero has already said he is disinclined to debate anybody because the League of Women Voters are unfair to Trump. They're so unfair.
The League of Women Voters has been out of the debates for decades.
No, the women.
Well, it's been taken over by the Hillary bots. Okay.
No, okay. I made that part up. The debate commission is so unfair to Trump. It's so unfair. We won't do it if it's going to be unfair like that. So he's already setting up to run away from whomever. Mm-hmm. Alma in New Mexico just said it. Trump will not debate at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
And Alma, do you realize the opportunities that will present themselves if he chickens out? What'd you get, bone spurs, Donnie? What the doctor tell you, you can't.
You have a series of empty chair debates against Trump.
Donnie, I think I read somewhere not long ago that Clint Eastwood has decided to drop his support of at least Trump. Maybe he'll get up there with an empty chair.
He was going to go for Bloomberg, actually.
Berate.
No, Scotty, no. He'll get the coronavirus. That'll be his excuse.
Oh, there you go.
No, but he'll be afraid of it, and that'll be his excuse.
Okay. Yeah.
But let me
ask a big question, guys.
Okay.
What is the for-profit media going to do if there's no debates? How are they going to make their mold?
They will offer
town halls and interviews.
They will offer one-on-one town halls, and they will sell ads, and it may not be good for America, but it'll be great for CBS. Just like Les Moonves said 4 years ago. Now, here's one other thing that we ought to probably put out
of it. And nobody came.
Yeah. So here's another thing we need to put paid to. I saw somebody asking on social media earlier today, if it's Biden and he doesn't choose either Elizabeth Warren or Amy Klobuchar, will you be upset? Hell no, I won't be upset. Okay? Because We got it. This is an eyes on the prize kind of thing. We got to remember that we're trying to take the Senate back too. And any senator that a presidential nominee would select makes taking the Senate back and keeping it harder. Because even if you win and your senatorial running mate is now vice president, even if they appoint another Democrat, that still triggers another special election. You know, Steve in Georgistan is dealing with that.
What happens if Biden chooses Mitt Romney?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Roger, because I was just going to ask that. What happens if he goes with that?
Well, Willard.
Because
Mitt Romney is the only thing standing between the subpoena
No, that's over, Sparky. Son. That's over, Sparky.
It's over.
Yeah.
He
hold on, everybody.
Romney whinnied like a white horse, and then he turned out to be nothing but a jackass because he said, "Oh, this is political. I don't think we ought to be subpoenaing. We shouldn't be investigating Hunter Biden." And then he caved he folded like a cheap suit and agreed to the subpoena.
Oh gosh! Well, I see Tracy has waited. I don't know if she's heard the conversation from the get go, but would love to have her take, obviously, on what happened with Elizabeth Warren. And is it less likely that Biden will select a Republican running mate after all of this?
What?
A Republican running mate? Excuse me. Who? What?
Yeah, well, he talked about that, didn't he, Bob? I mean, he basically
he said he'd love to do that, but he can't find anyone that will work with him.
Yeah,
all right, there's your ticket.
Which is a very politician kind of thing to say. Well, you know, I'd love to do that, but I can't find anybody.
So
I mean, here's the man who could work across the aisle.
So, Tracy, you doing the marathon tomorrow or triathlon?
Triathlon tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, it's tomorrow, Tracy.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Tracy, I've been dying to ask you, are they going to televise it at all?
Is
she going to take video? I feel so invested in this.
There might be pictures and stuff.
Post them somewhere.
Yeah, no, but I, you know, it's not like Boston or anything like that. There won't be any. I wish it was being televised because that way I could, not that you would ever see me. And I wish, at least I wish there, because like I know for like the New York Marathon, if you know the person's bib number, you can track them throughout the marathon live.
Tracy, you did say that everyone around you is going to be melanin challenged.
Yes.
So, you know.
That's true. It won't be too hard to find my black ass. That's true.
We'd be looking for you. And if there's any way I could see some photos, I would love that. I feel a part of this, as even though I'm not. But I am, but I'm not. But I feel like.
You guys. I mean,
what's the name of the event, Tracy, so I can look it up? Maybe there's a live stream somewhere.
Yeah.
Pasadena Triathlon.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, if there's a live stream for it. I don't know. They just very well.
Maybe one of the local TV stations will carry it online.
It's not that big. It might be out.
That's newsworthy right there, Tracy.
Yesterday, because... So yesterday was yet another horror. I took my bike to the, because Alex said, you know, mom, you got a flat. And I'm like, oh, God. So I took my bike to the bike shop. Oh, it wasn't just a flat. Both of my tires were like shredded. The rim was bent. What the hell kind of
bicycling are you doing?
Dude, seriously, I don't know what the fuck happened because I haven't done anything. You know, if you guys know, if I had fallen or had hurt myself, y'all would have been the first to know.
Tracy, was a Walmart bike for $78.
Right. And so that's what I said.
Ah, wait. You know. Yeah, okay. There we go.
I get a cowbell? I don't know.
Yeah, no, anyway.
It was a $78 bike. It cost me more to fix the motherfucker than the bike cost, you know.
Oh!
You get what you pay for, Tracy.
Bigger cowbell. All right.
You know, it was just, but you know what though? The bike actually, it wouldn't have cost because I got it. But I'm just glad because I just went in there for the tires, and then before I said, you know, why don't you just check the bike out? And so I'm glad I did have them check it out because the good thing was the guys are really cool. He didn't charge me for most of the stuff he should have charged me for. And plus because he was afraid that he was going to replace the rim on the bike, but they managed to fix it. So thank you, Jesus, for that. because he's like, if they couldn't have fixed it, they probably wouldn't have been able to get the party in time, and I would have had to just buy a new bike or actually rent one, which would have been a catastrophe.
Oh, no, that's worse. That's worse than playing golf with rented clubs. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Exactly.
Tracy, if there's a live stream, I've got a suggestion mm-hmm. coming in from James in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna. There's no head-on T-shirts out there. If there was some way, I would have gotten one to you. If nothing else, James in Illinois says, wear an Angela Davis wig.
not gonna work with the locks and the helmet. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The helmet would negate the wig. See, I mean, yeah.
The helmet would negate the wig. It would be like no.
And if there's
you could wear a head cam, you could wear a head cam and film it, Tracy.
And Ralph's went and looked it up as serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. PasadenaTriathlon.com.
Yeah, I post a link.
Yeah, thanks, Billable.
I'll go when I go to my car because I have my race packet already, and I'll find my bib number and see if you guys can. I know there's probably ways.
Wait, Tracy, isn't that in the modern language? Isn't that a racial packet? Don't we have to say racial and not race? Sorry. I'm going to hell.
Tracy, it starts at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. California time. So right. That's
11 o'clock y'all's time.
11 on the East Coast, okay.
What's just in time for mimosas for you guys.
What's the weather forecast?
It's gonna be perfect for the race. It's gonna be like in the 60s, I believe. But about 60 degrees. And by the time I get to the pool, it'll, you know, like I said, because this week has just been a fucked week. Mm. I haven't had a chance to, I've just been in a blah mood. I haven't had a chance to train because I had to do some stupid shit with my car. Mm. All the stuff that Uber and Lyft does not have to do, we have to do. Because we're regulated, so I had to get my we got new meters, so there's no more paper meters in our cabs. Everything's on a tablet, and so of course this next week is when I get my DOT inspection, so I had to go to do weights and measures twice yesterday. I mean not yesterday, Wednesday. Let's just say it's been an ugly fucking week, and so I found out. And my mom's not coming to, she said she was coming. Now she's not. Mm. And so I'm getting into that, you know, I'm getting into that Tracy headspace where I just kind of shut down. And I know it's just my brain messing with me because I'm still really fucking nervous over the swim. But still, it's just, God motherfucking damn it.
There is You are doing this. There is no way to fail.
Flip the script.
I'm trying.
Flip the script. Don't stress yourself out doing it, but just try to look at something like bright and positive about it. You're getting great exercise. You've got a whole Horn community rooting for you and that love you, and that you're gonna do great for whatever you've set up for your own milestones. I think that's
My milestone is that I learned how to swim.
You don't drown.
So far, so good.
And remember, Tracy, there is no trying. Only do.
Only do.
Actually, you know what? I was actually thinking about starting a Facebook group for Black women triathletes. And I was going to, we don't try, we do. Mm-hmm. You know, Black women, you know, Black girls don't try, we do. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. I don't know. Oh, speaking of sayings, so I was thinking about making a thing called. Okay, so you know how I was saying about grabbing fear by the balls. So okay, so here's one. I'm gonna grab fear by the balls. Wait, let's see, and make them cry. Let's see. I was gonna grab fear by the balls, and make him and squeeze him until he cries like a bitch.
Yeah.
Or let's see, what else? I'm going to grab fear by the balls and make it sing like a soprano.
Nice.
So I was thinking about getting a t-shirt that says that.
I just wanted to say, I'm so proud of you and the achievement that you're going to do tomorrow. It's just, it's absolutely spectacular. It really is.
Absolutely. When I tell people that I signed up for this thing without knowing how to swim or ride a bike, they're like, what the fuck, what? And so I'm like, I had to do, this was the one way I knew I was going to get over my fear. Well, sort of. I'm not scared of the bike anymore. As a matter of fact, the guy at the bike shop showed me the best way to mount and dismount my bike. I'm like, you mean I've been doing all this fucking struggling for no reason? Yes. So I'm trying so hard not to do the freak out that I do so well. And, you know, if the worst thing that can happens because, you know, like I said, my tri-suit, the zipper broke the other day and then the bike yesterday. And I'm like, if these are the worst things that are going to happen to me over the course of this day tomorrow, then I'll be fine because all those other things are already taken care of.
Well, you know what, Tracy, it sounds like it, you know, thinking of who's the cute one there from the Jacksons. Oh God, what is her name? One of the sisters who had
Janet,
who had the wardrobe malfunction, and you're having that, and you're having the equipment malfunction. I think it's really good that it's happening before the event, because then you can troubleshoot and get the crap out of the way. Exactly. So
just like shooting pool, get your bad game out of the way the first match rather than the last one when you're.
Yeah, it would be horrible. If it's happening during the triathlon. I'm looking at the photos here that Rick sent the link to, and they're showing photos of very diverse looking individuals that are participating. So this looks pretty cool. You know,
lots of folks of color for sure.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing from what they're posting here on the triathlon site, but this looks exciting. I'm so excited for you. Oh, I'll be thinking of you soon. But I had a question, Tracy, what did you think about what happened with Elizabeth Warren at the, you know, her leaving the campaign? Just curious what you thought.
Looks like she's muted, Darlene.
Oh, is she muted? Okay.
But I just wanted to tell Tracy one word of advice, or
make
sure to swim away
from
the sharks. Make sure to swim away from the sharks.
It's a lake. Hopefully there aren't any sharks.
It's a pool. No,
yeah, I don't think they put them in the Olympic size swimming pool. Wouldn't be a good idea.
There will be nothing there, but maybe a couple of koi or something like that. But there won't be. But no, Elizabeth Warren, I knew she wasn't going to, you know, go to
Trump drained the swamp. So don't worry, Tracy.
Said what?
Trump drained the swamp. So don't worry.
Yeah.
We're all safe now. Don't you feel better
about
that?
We're all safe now. But no, she did it. My happy thought is she did eviscerate Mike Bloomberg. So that.
Oh, jeez. Did she ever?
I sent Bob a text. It was a tweet saying this is the best tweet ever, saying that Elizabeth Warren should get a teardrop tattoo for how she murdered
murdered the campaign.
Oh,
yeah.
Bloomberg. How she just because she murdered Bloomberg. She took his ass out.
Right.
And just watching her and the way she handles herself and all this. I think she would have been an amazing president because I'm sorry.
Me too.
Grandpa Joe, the fucker fucked up his own sister and his wife. Come on. Jesus!
He has a history of doing that, and he seems like it's getting worse as he's getting older.
That's what I'm saying. And then Bernie's always yelling at somebody. So, you know, and just, you know, always in a perpetual state of being pissed the fuck off. It's like, privileged white man, really? What do you got to be pissed off about? Fuck you.
Well Tracy, let me interject something here. Grandpa Joe has always had a stuttering problem. So I'm hopeful it's that, not some degenerative brain issue let's hope for the best, you know.
Well, like I said, like Bob says,
it's a degenerative brain issue.
I hope not, Duncan. I hope it's a stuttering issue.
Everybody saying he's got dementia.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what he comes across as.
Sparky, I agree with that. Sparky, I agree with that. Yeah,
it's not a stuttering.
If somebody witnessed dementia firsthand, I think he's got the first stages of it.
Even worse than Trump.
How far along, Sparky, based on your experience then, how far along is Trump?
Oh, he's in the beginning stages, too.
Well, they're going to scrutinize Biden far more harshly than they do Trump then, if that's
fuck the case. Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. Trump's His goes in and out. It's like they say it's a sundowner thing.
The sundowner thing.
He cycles.
Yeah, sundowning. Yeah.
When he gets a far away look. Like when he sits there, did you see the video of his meeting with the airline execs and the pharmacy people? Sits there with his arms crossed and he gets that stare going.
Yeah, and he
kind of
rocks.
Well, he walked off the stage when they were questioning Pence being the czar for seeing the coronavirus czar, and the guy that heads the CDC or whatever trying to explain that he didn't feel like his power was being usurped or whatever. Did you see Trump just walk off the stage like he just waved and just left?
During those moments. So at the CDC.
Go ahead.
At the CDC, David in South Carolina, Stan sent this along. It was reported by Josh Marshall at TPM. He's reliable. Surrounded by CDC officials, Trump declares, "Doctors say, how do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability."
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
You know, Bob, during those faraway look moments, I just imagine there's Calliope music going on in his brain.
Well, and you know, him standing when Dr. Fauci was talking last week and he's standing back there. Just kind of hunched over and hulking like some sort of brooding gorilla with his little mouth open and his lower lip hanging and he's when Fauci was correcting him.
Fauci's not long for this world.
We don't know how much danger we are in.
Well, my mom has dementia as well, Bob, and I would say Trump's at least in stage two. Mom's in stage three. And if Joe does have it, he's at the beginning stages of it. I'm hoping it's stuttering, but, that doesn't seem to be the consensus.
No, I mean...
Watch the person's eyes.
Look in the person's eyes
when they talk or anything. Because when he makes mistakes, his eyes will get real big like he discovered something.
Oh, boy.
Are you talking Trump or Biden?
Like a new gate. Like a new Calgate in the field, right?
When he did the Declaration of Independence deal the other day.
Oh, my God.
He couldn't do the all men are created equal part.
Well, you know how it goes.
Getting real big. His brain wasn't registering. And then he just goes, "Oh, you guys know what it was."
Oh, okay.
You can
sum it up in one word. And I used this the other day: slippage. Fuck. Or fucked slippage. Yeah.
But again, please, I would just encourage us to all remember, we are not measuring a Biden presidency against the perfect presidency of our dreams.
No.
We are measuring Biden against...
Who's got the dog barking?
Is that Kimba?
It's Kimba because somebody's walking in the door.
And we are measuring a potential Biden presidency against 4 more years of Donald Trump that are going to make these 4 years look like a walk in the park. We are measuring a Biden presidency against children in cages in concentration camps. We are measuring a Biden presidency against children who will never be reunited with their parents because they can't and do not wish to find them. We are measuring a Biden presidency against a Trump presidency that will very likely get to replace at least Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so that's why I say I will go joyfully to the polls. It will be. I don't care which Democrat I'm. Well, I don't care if I'm voting for Biden or Bernie. It will be the most patriotic thing I have ever done in my life because my generation has not been called upon to do shit.
And you're sure that Biden will push against all of those things.
But, and let's not forget he slashed funding to the CDC is why we're in the horrible mess we're in now. I hold that fucker responsible, man.
No question. No question, Steve.
But the thing is, Bob, can he defeat Trump?
You know what? He can if we vote for him.
I voted Democrat since 1972. I voted from the first president I voted candidate was from George McGovern.
I have never voted for a Republican in my life. I have never failed the quadrennial United States one question IQ test.
Neither have I.
Exactly. So here's the thing. People like you and me, Sparky, we can't be talking about nose holding. We can't be talking about, I'd rather be voting for. We got one chance. The House is on goddamn fire, and we cannot be talking about whether we need new candle sconces next to the drapes. We can't afford it. This is existential. This is critical. This is the end of life as we know it if we don't do that. And it is incumbent upon those of us who are politically active, politically astute, politically aware to make that clear to the rest of the to everybody else we come in contact. This isn't a reality show. This isn't a wrestling match. This is life and goddamn death. Lee, a little bit ago in New York, straightened me up on my Yoda quote. Hey, Bob, get it right. Do or not do. There is no try. Okay? That applies here, too. We're going to have to get over everything. We're going to have to start. We're going to have to recognize the nature of the struggle. And that is between probably Biden and Trump. And if you ask, can Biden beat Trump? Yes, Biden can stomp the shit out of Trump if people vote for him. That's the bottom line of the electability question. I hate the electability question because all you have to do to be electable is get people to vote for you.
Okay, so I totally get what you're saying there, Bob, and that's why I'm trying to get over my grief at this point, so I'm prepared to go to the polls in November. But what is the cause? What is behind the young people not getting out and voting? Yeah.
They never do.
Exactly.
They
never do.
Even for Bernie, I mean, he seemed like he always
got exactly.
Them. I don't understand.
And they have the most to lose.
Yep.
You know, when you have the Greta Thunbergs and, I'm stunned because even Bernie, at least he was honest. He sat there and he said, we're not getting out the younger people to vote. And it's, and in 2016, they were there in droves cheering him on. And I mean, I remember there's Republicans, what's going on?
Darlene, they show up to rallies and send Instagram selfies to each other, but they cannot be bothered to, because it's not cool in the polling place. They don't feel the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow that you get in a rally when, you know, somebody comes along, some rock and roller that you, or hip hop artist, or depending on where you are, twanging country star to beg you to go out and vote. You got a free concert, and then you don't go vote.
And they
Seriously, Mom, they hooked about our millennials? Seriously?
They hook schools so they can go to these anti-gun rallies, but they won't fucking show up to vote.
Hey, hey, I got an idea, guys. How about we make the ballots with emojis on them? Everybody has an emoji. Maybe then they'll show up.
Vote by text.
Yeah. Justin Bieber show up.
Cognitive dissonance. Then there's a cognitive dissonance there, Bob, that you're saying, well, what is causing that? What is...
Well, we haven't taught them civics worth shit.
Yeah.
Okay. That could be the nexus.
And thus far, they are not touched.
There's another...
Betsy DeVos, we never will teach them civics.
Right. And it's an election.
Or maybe they're seeing an old white guy again, an old white male.
But the old white male
said he was going to get him out.
It's not just
the
matter.
I know, but it's still the visual, right? If it's all visual for them, you know?
It's not just a matter of civics not being taught, which I think is a crime, just as much of a crime as arts not being taught and music. And physical education in a lot of the schools. That's part of it. The other part of it, more often than not, on our side, they set themselves up to be disappointed because they invest a whole lot of hope and stuff into a candidate who then goes on to win. And at every turn, the candidate, now the president, gets stymied by the system.
And so they are seduced when somebody comes along and says and presents them with an othering argument. You know, y'all don't get out and vote, but it's not your fault. It's those others. Now, on the Republican side, we all know who those others are. Gay people, LGBTQ, Hispanics. People of color, generally, the black community, especially undocumented immigrants,
and the other
secular
part of it is,
humanists. Okay,
Bob. The other part of it is, and it's because civics is not taught. Younger people, even middle-aged people, don't realize that it is never not an ongoing process. Designed by the founders to move at a snail's pace in terms of getting anything done. It's a lifelong process.
They want instant gratification. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it, but they don't realize the nature of the system that they're participating in. I'm with Duncan. My first vote in a presidential campaign was cast for George McGovern in 1972. And he got his ass handed to him by Nixon. If I had just gone to my little cubbyhole and said, well, I'm not going to play. I'm going to go out in the backyard and eat grass. I wouldn't have voted for Democrats every 4 years. Sometimes they won. Sometimes they lost. Sometimes when they did win, they did a halfway decent job. Other times they got stymied. But I'm in it for the long fucking haul. And that's where we've got to be as voters and citizens in this country.
Yeah,
it's almost a Chinese thing. Got to have a long vision.
Let me add one more factor to this, though. And by the way, it looks like we're going to wrap up the program tonight. $365 in the hole. So thank you very kindly to Samson. And Steve for getting Steve in New York for getting us started earlier this evening. Thank you very much, and we'll just we'll do our best to come more in Monday. There's one more factor in this in the discussion of the youth vote, and it is in a way a false impression we have created for ourselves over the years. It is a myth that we have created because back when Sparky's ass was on the line, and facing the draft in Vietnam, that generation had the classic definition of skin in the game. they had it was existential. While George W. Bush was protecting the Rio Grande from the Viet Cong, and while Nitwit Nero was at home soaking his bone spurs, and while Rush Limbaugh was complaining of the pus-filled hairy cyst on his ass.
There and don't went. Forget Ted Nugent's...
Ted Nugent was shitting his pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Other kids were watching bodies come back, and they realized it could be them, and they did get active. But, for instance, if you look at all the Sturm und Drang of 1968 and all the anti-war rallies, Scott, you're the historian of that period in this little group. When did the Vietnam War end?
Well, in 75, I think.
What do you mean?
What are you going to say? American involvement and it ended in 75? No, you're wrong. It ended in 73.
Well, I didn't even finish what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay, so 73. The Vietnamization. That's okay. That's all I needed was 1973. Okay.
I was there. I was closer than anybody in this group to Vietnam.
Yeah,
I know, but I read a lot.
And there are people out in the community that were there as well. But my larger point is, all that anti-war protesting, and all that draft card burning, and the war kept going and going and going until the power structure itself decided that it had become too great a weight to bear. But out of all of this, we have created the myth of the oh-so-important youth vote. It's never materialized, okay? It has never materialized. Now, what you did have in 1972 in McGovern was a lot of energized youth, a couple of young, starry-eyed idealists, Hillary Rodham and Bill Clinton, for instance, working on the McGovern campaign, lots of other young, starry-eyed idealists doing the same. And thanks to the McGovern campaign, we wound up with superdelegates. Thanks to the McGovern campaign, we wound up in the wilderness. Thanks to the McGovern campaign, those starry-eyed idealists grow up and realize that their starry-eyed idealism got them exactly nowhere, and they formed the DLC because they want some of that sweet, sweet, sweet Wall Street and corporate cash so that we don't keep getting buried alive by the goddamn Republicans every 4 years.
I think you also have to go back to McCarthy in 72, or was it 68. I mean, McGovern wouldn't have been there in 72 if it hadn't been for McCarthy in 68. Which was a tremendous youth movement.
Well, one of the things that McGovern did in 72 in terms of the way the convention was conducted, compare 72 to 68 in Chicago, when it was still Mayor Daley and the smoke-filled rooms and the big city Democratic movers and shakers, the polls, if you will.
Jane Fonda and Tom Hayden.
I don't know that superdelegates came in 72. All McGovern was trying to do was to make...
No, they didn't. They didn't come in, but they are a result of the thrashing that McGovern took.
Yeah, I'll give you that, definitely. Plus, all he was trying to do was have more people at the table being part of the process, and the corporate-type Democrats decided to say, yeah, let's have more participation if we get to choose who gets to participate, vis-a-vis Wall Street and the bankers and the corporate Democrat is who I call them.
I'll throw a different spin on it. That is, before 68 and 72, there wasn't any need for superdelegates because the superdelegates were always the delegates.
Yeah, they were the people in the smoke-filled room.
And then they decided to open it up and give the people the illusion that they were in charge, but they kept the superdelegates to make sure the people were never in charge.
Roger, superdelegates were a created thing. Okay, I mean they came into being.
Yeah, they were created.
For instance, and as I've said before, in 2016, you know, the Republicans don't have them. It's not like it's a law or anything. It's just like a rule of how we do business. The Republicans don't have them, and you can bet your ass in 2016, Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush and Lindsey Graham and all those people who were boldly proclaiming what a turd Nitwit Nero was. You can bet your ass the Republicans wished, God damn, I wish we had us some of these superdelegates. By God, that motherfucker wouldn't be getting the nomination if we had. Because they are there. They are there as a preventative. They are there as a prophylactic measure. They're there to keep parties from going off the rails and winding up in the keep the Democratic Party from winding up in the goddamn wilderness again.
Even before 72 and the changes in how the Democratic convention was handled, do you know where the first rocking of the establishment and the status quo occurred in terms of Democratic politics? It wasn't in 72. It wasn't in 68 out in the streets of Chicago in Grand Park. It was in 1964 in Atlantic City when the Democratic Mississippi Lilywhite delegation refused to make room for Mrs. Hamer and the Mississippi Freedom slate of delegates who were like black, okay? And they didn't get seated. I think they got some sort of separate but equal accommodation, but they weren't on the fucking floor. In other words, Mississippi didn't budge. This is back when Mississippi was a Democratic state, so-called. Yeah. Okay, but and primaries didn't really become a thing in earnest until 72, right. As I recall.
Yeah. I mean, we're acting like this goes back to the days of the velvet knee breeches and powdered wig crowd. It doesn't.
No. But you're right in terms of we have all whether it's. Regarding a conflict or a war, or whether it's just having a stake and a say in the government that we have and the system that we have, it's an ongoing process. And I, you know, every time must matter, and you must vote as if it matters. You may not get what you want, but you will participate. And move, even if it's infinitesimally, a little bit closer to what it is that you want, you know? And it takes forever the way this system is set up. And it's designed to do that, I think.
It is. It's built
does
in.
Does anyone have the confidence? Does anyone have the confidence in Tom Perez that he can keep that convention together?
I think it's
a good question.
I think the convention will keep itself together.
We can't afford chaos. It's enough that the Republicans are doing chaos.
It's going to be all. It's going to have to do with the behavior of the candidates, okay, and secondarily the behavior of the candidates' supporters. All right.
Yeah.
If it turns out that Bernie winds up getting thumped and he doesn't bow out before the convention, and all of his supporters go and Achilles like sulk in their tents, it can get ugly real fast. And maybe that's what they want. I don't know.
Well, I have a burning question, if I may, real quick, Bob. Let's only take a second.
Go ahead.
Why the fuck is their primary staggered? Think about how many people threw their vote away on candidates that already dropped out. Why not have the fucking thing on one date for everybody, winner take all?
Been arguing it for a year or so, at least 6 months.
I'm not so sure that I agree with that idea.
It just makes sense to me.
Make sure West Virginia is until May.
If it were winner take all, like on Super Tuesday, Biden would have already won the nomination if Super Tuesday was the national primary day.
How do you know?
Granted, there's 14 of them, which is a pretty effing big deal, you know. And what percentage of the delegates were up for grabs? 33% or something like that, you know?
The further down the trough you get, though, the further you're being screwed.
Well, I think, you know, I think
it, media can't make any money off of it. That's why there's
well, it leads to I think it leads to a winnowing of candidates, though, if you have to, like, if it's a little longer season. I mean, if you think about it, the primary season, caucus season is what, from January to June? Is that right? Or
roughly,
more or less. So that's not that long. But the problem is the year before that. That's the problem. People get, like, you know, tired of the fatigue. So what you do is you start the season, let's say on, Thanksgiving, the year before the election starts. Nobody can campaign or announce until then. And then you just start moving along quickly, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, but our system is capitalist. You got to drag it out.
So yeah, people you can do.
Make money off of it.
You do. You got to pay the Chris Matthews of the world, you know, well, millions of dollars, right?
The media has to get its beak wet.
Well, it's good for CBS. It's good for other people.
It may not be right. Good for America, but it's great for CBS.
That's what I just fucking said.
And even before television and radio, in every city of any size in this country, back before radio and television, you had newspapers. Some cities had 4 and 5 and 6 daily newspapers a day, and they aligned themselves. And this goes back to the Revolutionary War times. Some were of a certain bent, others were of a other bent. And they had advertising, of course, not electronic like on radio and TV, but the newspapers, each paper had its following and had its special candidate or mindset that it liked. So it's not new. It just shows up in different ways. Now we're in almost the Wild West, where it's electronic, it's online, it's cyber, and you would think that we would have more voices and more discourse and more good information. But whenever there's a new technology, there's always an opportunity for mischief to be made. And we, God, if we don't know that from 2016, I don't know what will ever show us, you know? And this bugs the fuck out of me, Bob. You talk about massive crowds showing up to make a statement and raise a little hell in a responsible way. I went to 2 different marches in 1969, anti-war marches, in October and November of 69, the moratorium against the war, okay? One of them was like 250,000, and the other one was between 500,000 and 750,000 on the streets of Washington, D.C. All we had to publicize them was a couple of dozen underground papers, flyers stapled to telephone poles, word of mouth, and activities on the various college and high school campuses. And we had that measure of turnout. And it wasn't just because of the vote. Today we've got cell phones, we've got Facebook, we've got social media. And you know, the crowds that even the minuscule crowds that show up to protest anything today have all the sizzle of a wet fart. I don't. And again, it's participation that is lacking.
Because Scott, protest has been reduced to performance art. All right. You have your big protest.
Like the teabaggers.
Well, you have your big protest. You set it for Saturday. Everybody shows up Thursday. Thursday for the training if there's going to be civil disobedience, or else everybody shows up on Friday. Then Saturday you gather for your protest. Everybody stands around and says, "Ah!" And then, you know, and then people get up and give stemwinder speeches. And then about 3 o'clock you break up and everybody goes and gets loaded and drives home Sunday hungover. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the local media in D.C. barely even carries it.
Well, it hey, didn't used to
because it doesn't.
Speaking of that, Bob.
Yeah.
Appalachia Rising. Do you still have any of that?
You broke up.
I mean, you have.
It's got to be around somewhere.
On Appalachia Rising.
Yeah, that's, it's
I
got
I just wondered if he, I still had something or did it die with the old website?
It's somewhere. And lots of different people have the video. I mean, there were a lot of video cameras there.
I'm sure, I remember I'm, that. Watch it.
Yes.
So, Bob, you're basically saying that the disconnect is the lack of civic education.
I think it begins there, Darlene. I mean, can anybody provide me a viable reason why any child in the United States should ever graduate high school without at least once having read from beginning to end the Constitution of the United States? It ain't that long.
Right.
Donald Trump did it.
I'm not so sure that he read it. He had somebody read it to him. His mommy read it to
him. No, he went from first grade to 12th, never reading it.
He fell asleep, probably.
Yeah, right.
He had dementia back then.
I didn't know that was possible with a young brain.
Yeah,
if he's born with an intellectual disability, it's a little bit different.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, I'll
come up with one thing that's a little bit different. And that is back in the late 60s and early 70s. Generally speaking, a college student could take a time off or get involved in the anti-war movement and all the rest of that and miss a semester and then come back the next semester. And it didn't put him in debt for another 15 fucking years.
Yeah.
When they did that.
And generally, they had that ability. Right, Roger. And generally, going to college didn't put you in $500,000 debt at all.
Yeah, but they had the ability. They were going to college.
It was cheap.
And then, well, back in the very early 60s, it was $30 a semester at a California State University. But if you took the semester off, yeah, you bought your books and the rest of that kind of shit, but you took your semester off, you went and fucked around with the anti-war movement, and you came back to school the next semester. Chemistry 1A was using the same fucking textbook you bought the previous semester, and you simply moved back into school.
And you sold
Ronald
your books.
Reagan fucking over the tuition at the California State University system, and then he moved to the presidency and fucked it over for the entire United States. They cut off the youth movement at their knees. The youth today cannot afford to get involved with the commitment that we had in the late 60s, early 70s. And by the way, my first election was in 1966, when the voting age was still 21.
Yeah, there's a carryover to that, Roger, as well, that speaks to the broader population. The performance art aspect of protest that I mentioned earlier, the reason it's show up on Friday, do your thing on Saturday, go home on Sunday, is that nobody can afford to do sit-ins that last for eons. Okay, that. They got to get home because they got to get to work because they got a mortgage to pay. They got car insurance to pay. They got homeowners insurance to pay. They got a water bill. They got a power bill. Cable is fucking $200 a goddamn month, and we haven't even talked about groceries yet. These are the velvet-coated chains that shortchange civil disobedience. You know, I keep coming back again and again and again when I watch these various especially Republican states trying to enact laws to make it a felony to protest against a pipeline. I come back to John Kennedy. Those who make revolution, peaceful revolution, impossible, make violent revolution inevitable.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. And all those things talking about what Tracy had said before, it's all by design.
Yeah, it is.
It's by design. Sorry, Chris.
Well, Bob, one thing I wanted to throw in
Tracy's
there too is
left.
In the back of our American subconscious, we always have that Reagan mantra, government can't solve any problems. Government is the problem. And yeah, I think that's a backdrop.
The nine most dangerous words in the English language, Mommy, are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Evil right. fucker.
He and so we fight against each and every day as well.
Mm-hmm.
There, until this president, there has never been a president more dangerous to the American constitutional system than was Ronald Reagan. And that's why I refuse to participate in his fucking hagiography or his godforsaken sainthood cult. Absolutely not.
Here, here, Bob. Good job.
So, Bob. Oh,
Trump has Don Mencia. That's what it is.
Ah, that's a good word. That's quality.
John Don.
Are you looking for a cowbell there, Joe?
I'm begging.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Hey, Bob, I got a question for you about fundraising.
Yeah.
I got to get you something, and I'm on Head On Live, and there's no tab anymore for PayPal.
You know, I just had somebody mention that to me, that would probably make things kind of difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see here. Stand by. I'm waiting for it to load. It's loading.
All right.
And I had a note earlier saying that the email server loaded really, really slow or something.
This is redoing on the site.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay.
Because the signing was different today.
Yeah, there's the tab. I mean, I just clicked on the contribute tab. It could be because
I'm not seeing a contribute.
Okay.
Please use the PayPal interface below to contribute the horn.
Yeah, and it's locked.
And I scroll down and I don't see a PayPal tab.
Right, and it's not there. It's not there. That explains a lot.
I see become a patron.
Well, I'd had a question earlier and I didn't realize it had changed.
It's all Ace's fault.
Actually, the interface stopped working during the middle of the program today. I couldn't. The player wasn't working. The WordPress player stopped working.
I've gotten a lot of compliments over the WordPress player. So
Know. I liked it at first, and then like midway through the program, it just stopped working.
And I didn't get a commercial either from TuneIn. Yay!
Yeah, right.
You don't have to worry that I'm making bank on ads from TuneIn because we're not. We never got a penny out of it.
Hey, speaking of logistics, Bob, I guess you'll get that figured out, the PayPal interface. But as far as logistics go, what impact is the coronavirus going to have on the Hornet?
You know, I've actually been thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if maybe we want to push it back a little further into high summer to give people a better fighting chance and maybe better airline fares. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's going to want to get on a plane.
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly don't want to get on a cruise ship. There's already been two cruises
for you, lucky for you. There's no major cruise lines running between LA and the New River.
You'd have to
transit the Panama Canal, come through the Gulf of Mexico, around the Florida Peninsula. You'd go into the Gulf of Mexico, you'd go up the Mississippi, you'd turn right on the Ohio. and then you'd turn right again onto the Kanawha River. You'd come up the Kanawha River, and at some point in time, you'd have to get in a fucking kayak.
Yeah, you'd have to get in a boat with Burt Reynolds and Ned Beatty, right?
That's assuming you get far enough there before a coronavirus outbreak occurs on your ship, right?
Yeah, you mentioned Ned Beatty, Chris. I never see him in any other movie that I don't look up and say Ned Beatty had the hardest part.
Oh,
hey, rewatching old movies now. I watched Mississippi Burning the other night.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, you know, our buddy Dan Fisher was the props guy on that, Sparky.
Oh, really?
Bob. Bob.
But we could move the horn into Iquitos, Peru, and that's 1,300 miles up the Amazon, and we still have ocean-going ships that go up that far.
That's true. But, let me check Peru real quick. Hold on here.
I got to tell you a movie that I saw. I had never heard of it. I saw it last night, and it's on Amazon Prime for free. It's called The Counterfeit Trader. It's from like 1961 or two. It stars William Holden. I was blown away by how good that movie was.
Well, you know what? You know what I tuned away from Morning Joe for this morning on AMC or on TCM?
I don't know, but it was probably a good movie. 7 Days in May?
I stuck around for that, but no. It was just the goddess of it was like a direct message from the goddess of irony. I was watching those fools blather along, and then I went, no, I'm not going to watch amateurs when I've got a chance to hang out with Professor Quackenbush. Duck soup was on.
Yes. Well, I recorded 7 Days in May. You know, they're running these movies that featured Kirk Douglas because he died a month ago. But that's one of his best. And Burt Lancaster is incredible in that movie as well. There's a return on either Amazon Netflix, March 11th, season 2 of Dirty Money. Do you remember that series? It was on last year.
No.
Okay, we'll look for it. The old season is still up, and look for the new season on March 11th, which I think is a Wednesday.
And, if you ever want to set up a great triple feature, 7 Days in May, The Manchurian Candidate, and Advise and Consent.
Oh, yes. All three of those are stellar. Now, the original Manchurian Candidate, mind Denzel Washington.
Right.
With Angela Lansbury and Lawrence Harvey.
Playing the most...
That's easy.
Yeah, playing... Angela Lansbury is the most evil female character in theater since Lady Macbeth.
Well, all of those players in that film, the guy that played her husband, the inept, emasculated senator who is supposed to be like McCarthy, Senator Joseph McCarthy, and he goes to his wife and says, honey, can we decide on a number of how many communists I think are in the government? And 57. And that was the answer was inspired by a ketchup bottle, Heinz 57 varieties. You know, oh God, what a good movie!
Speaking of communists, that's why I want to see Bernie debate Trump. Trump say, "You're a communist," and then Bernie goes, "You don't even know what a communist is. What are you talking about?"
Well, yeah, that's what he said he wanted to do, was he had his playbook out calling him a communist.
Yeah. Well, the thing that with
he did
Trump
that at his
and
town
the debates,
hall the other night on Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hunter Biden.
Ego,
Hunter Biden.
Trump's ego and impression of his own self-importance. There's no way that he won't debate whoever the nominee is. Because that's just the type of person he is. He thinks that he is he has that, what was he called, the massive genius or...
Stable genius.
I've got a big brain.
And
I've got a good brain.
I know all the words.
I have the best words.
Well, all of his followers
wild horses couldn't keep him from debating.
You don't want to start singing that song, but Scott, do you?
Hunter Biden.
Wild horses.
The Benghazi of our time.
I think his followers.
They will holler Hunter Biden till we're all about to lose our minds.
The only communist is Trump's handler. He's the communist.
Well, Trump believes that Lenin's tomb is a communist plot. So think about that for a moment.
Yeah, and he also always loses a Trivial Pursuit on who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Yeah.
His job is so damn easy because all he has to do is just do the buzzwords, just say communist, and his followers are going to, they're not going to hear anything substantive beyond that. And Bernie's, if he makes it as our nominee on the Democratic side, he has the tougher job of explaining that, because it's going to take some mental acuity on the part of his maggot followers. And they're not going to want to listen to it. They're just going to hear communists, and that'll be enough for them.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, did you hear Trump's thinking about bailing out all the industries that are going to be affected by the coronavirus?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear about that.
If that isn't corporate socialism, I don't know what is.
Yeah, well.
Exactly.
Well, he did it for the farmers.
He is freaking out, though, with the stock market dropping. He does not know what to do.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, look at what he said at the CDC. You know, and in a tweet, he admitted he told Pence not to say anything nice to Jay Inslee in Washington, and said he's a snake. We have many problems with Washington. Many, many problems with the state of Washington.
That's all his. That's all his max here. That he's somehow, you know, going to drain the swamp, and that he's different, and that he's not there.
I had an evil thought. What if Trump is going to send Pence to all the coronavirus hot zones?
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Protection, hopefully.
He's going to get
coronavirus so he can nominate put Nikki Haley in.
Bob.
I said last week that Pence was put in charge so that he would be the person to blame.
And that
might open the door to a new vice president. Listen, yeah, this much is serious, and I mean we got to roll out of here. Apparently, there are problems with the contribute interface at HeadOn.live. For some reason or another, it's not the gray bar that says click here isn't showing up for people. But this is serious as we head out the door. As of something posted at the CDC website yesterday, the CDC is encouraging, and you know, this isn't just if you're somewhere that the coronavirus already is. The CDC says that older Americans, 60 and above, and those with chronic conditions should avoid going out as much as possible. The CDC, the Department of Health and Human Services, quote, and this is somebody from the maggot regime, so, you know, how it will be fucked up. DHHS is in the process of doing targeted outreach to the elderly community and those that have serious underlying health conditions. Those two groups, according to Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt University, an advisor to the CDC, says the two groups should strongly consider avoiding activities that involve large crowds, such as traveling by airplane, going to movie theaters, attending family events, shopping at crowded malls, and going to religious services. People in these two groups should strongly consider not doing these activities at this juncture. This ought to be top of mind for people over 60 and those with underlying health problems such as heart or lung disease, diabetes, or compromised immune systems. The single most important thing you can do to avoid the virus is reduce your face-to-face contact with people.
Like I said, I only go out once a week.
Schaffner,
I stay the hell away from people.
Schaffner, for instance, said, when my wife and I need to go shopping, we're going late at night, when there are no crowds, and we get in and out efficiently.
Hmm. That's smart.
That's your boy. That is, if that isn't terrorism, I don't know what is. Right? I mean, it's causing people to have to alter their how they do things.
Well, it's terrorism via, you know, bacteriological agents. You know,
yeah.
Fear of bacteriological agents.
I have a suggestion.
I want to wish Tracy luck tomorrow.
Absolutely.
She left the conversation.
But she may still be listening.
Good luck tomorrow, Tracy. Tight lines, break a leg, all that good stuff.
Kick ass.
I have a suggestion.
I have a suggestion for whoever the nominee is on our side. You ready?
Yeah.
They've got to incorporate these exact words into whatever their stump speech, their debate performance, whatever. When you have the eminently unqualified leading the irretrievably stupid using information that's verifiably false, how can it be anything other than a recipe for disaster?
Hmm.
Use that in your stump speech and in the debate, and it crystallizes the essence of the situation that we face and the choice for November. So there.
Well said, Scott.
Yep. Yeah. And by the way, Shorty in L.A. Yeah. Was watching Duck Soup, too. that's nice to know.
That's with the Marx Brothers, right, Bob?
Yeah. It's probably, I'd say between Duck Soup and Night at the Opera are the two best. Yeah. Day at the Races isn't bad either.
And
you know, it's there's a number of people out there who don't realize, you know, because the covers, you know, were very elegant and British looking and everything. Those two Queen albums, the one with Bohemian Rhapsody on it, what was it? A Night at the Opera.
Right.
And what was the next album? A Day at the Races.
An homage to the Marx Brothers, apparently.
One would assume, yes.
Yeah.
And thank you very kindly.
Secretary of War is out of order.
I got a big thank you to send out to Alma. Thank you very kindly. We're down to 265, which means we're only $65 away from being done with everything but Friday. And I have a feeling that that this is impacted by the disappearance of the contribute button on the contribute tab of the website, which is, like I said, weird because Asa sees it. Asa can see it on his screen, but it's not showing up for a bunch of us.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a browser incompatibility setting problem or something like that.
Yeah, it very well could be.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Can you still get PayPal it sent to your email?
Yeah. I mean, if you just go to paypal.com and use bobkincaid@gmail.com as the recipient address, that's how it all works anyway.
All right, let me write that down here. bobkincaid@gmail.com. Okay. The one, your regular email.
Yeah, the one you write to. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Chris, I got
PayPal. That's how I always use it.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do it right now, Bob.
Hey, thanks.
I'll throw the what I owe you, and then I have 25 I'll throw in as well.
Okay,
hey,
great.
Hey, Bob, Joe wanted to say something real quick.
Yeah, Joe.
No, Chris, I got that novel by Stephen King. It's like 1,400 pages.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The last one?
The Stand.
No, The Stand. It's a doorstop.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take a while, but it's worth the trip.
But the CDC declares the Corona novel virus, but I'm not going to get that one.
No.
Wait, what?
No. No, that's in the grand world of comedy, Joey, that's known as being too attenuated. Yeah, Shorty says, I'm watching Blazing Saddles right now. What in the wide, wide world of voting is going on here?
One of my all-time faves.
Headley.
Hey, Bob, I'm not seeing the contribute, you know, PayPal thing, but I'll make a challenge of $100. And if you could let me know over the weekend if it's met, then I'm assuming the PayPal thing will come back on and I'll throw that in.
Yeah.
Darlene, I'll beat it right now. It's met.
Use it.
Oh, wow.
Gmail.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what Sparky was talking about. Darlene, if you just go to paypal.com and then for the recipient address, just put sending money to friends and family and use bobkincaid@gmail.com, it works out the same way.
Awesome. And who matched me?
Me. Who? Joe. for Christ's sake.
Thanks, Joe.
Joey, thank you, brother. Thank you. So,
that should come up.
So, let's see.
That was the quickest
bang. And so, we're done with everything but $40 for the week. That's awesome. Thank you, Darlene. Awesome. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you. Thank you, Alma. Thank you, Samson. And thank you, Steve in New York. Thank you all so very, very kindly. And I'm assuming, because I couldn't get it to open at all, that Brother Deacon Asa probably has it down right now. Let me see here. I tried to open it in Firefox.
I was wondering about the, if Firefox would work.
Well, Firefox is installing your updates, and we'll start in a few minutes. Well, of course it will. There we go. Okay. Working. Oh, by the way, Lee in New York was telling me that March the 3rd was the 100th birthday of Jimmy Doohan, the great Canadian actor who gave us Commander Montgomery Scott on Star Trek.
Yeah. Mm. Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, did everyone see that Rosie the Riveter, that
she died
today?
Yeah.
95? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Okay, I'm looking
for... Okay. I bet she could shoot a hell of a game of pool.
Okay, so it just opened. It just opened. If you go to head-on.live, I went on Firefox, and it just opens immediately on the main page, and the fundraising goals there. And all the fill it in stuff and the players down below. So
that, Bob.
It worked. It works on Firefox. Sparky said I put a Band-Aid on it.
Oh, I'm not seeing. Okay. Well, it's not working on my end. I tried Firefox and the contributes just, it's not working on mine. So
well, let me, I got it.
Okay. I'm using Google Chrome and it shows up again now.
Okay, and I've got...
I just reopened it, and it shows up.
I refreshed it.
Yeah, I think if you refresh, Darlene, you'll see it.
Okay.
Chris is right.
But, but be patient, because it's opening really, really slowly.
Okay.
But, yeah, okay, so it showed up on a different browser here. And it's all, you know, all the fill-in-the-box stuff. And yeah.
Refresh. Cool. All right.
Sorry about the confusion. So,
well, I'm glad I said something, Bob.
Well, I am too. I really appreciate it.
That deserves a cowbell.
Yeah, I think it does.
All right. Thanks. It wasn't even funny. Thanks, Joe.
It was
okay. Here we go.
And Alma just said how wonderful this community is. For keeping all this going. And that's so true, Alma. That is so very true indeed. So now that the Band-Aid's on there, hopefully, Brother Deacon Asa is part of the all volunteer staff, and I can't thank him enough. So I guess we'll call it a thing and get back here Moran Monday, and God, there will be more Morans. I need to remember to put Clorox, the little portable Clorox wipes, on the grocery list. Because I think those things are going to start coming in handy. Ah, well. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thanks to everybody participating this evening. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going, either as subscribers through PayPal or Patreon or a la carte contributors or combination of all three. One, another. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky and the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves for Friday on the front porch. It was a rousing conversation this evening. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, working even as we speak on HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.